Testing in the House Chamber, 153rd Legislative Day.
House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The sergeant-at-arms will close the doors. Members and visitors are asked to please silence all electronic devices. This morning's prayer will be offered by Representative Warren. We'd ask our members and our guests in the gallery to please stand for the prayer and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance following the prayer. Representative Warren.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If you all join with me, as you will. Almighty God, we stand before you this day, about to begin our work on behalf of our fellow citizens. We pause to ask your guidance in our decision-making, Lord, that the results of our action will be beneficial for all of our constituents and for the good of this glorious state which you have generously blessed. Help us, Lord, to see every opportunity to perfect each piece of legislation that comes before us. Provide us the wisdom and the objectivity we need to execute our responsibilities without prejudice or partisanship. For only through cooperation and collaboration, Lord, can we achieve our greatest goals. Grant us this request, we pray. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for October 30th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves the journal for October 30th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The journal is approved. Ratification of bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
The enrolling clerk reports the following bills due to ratify for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 250. An act to codify the common law requirements for United States citizenship to qualify as a juror, to allow the clerk of the court to hear jury excuses for designated by the Chief Justice Court Judge, and to provide that the names and addresses of certain questions to be excused from jury duty based on disqualification shall share with the staff. State Board of Elections of Disqualifications is due to United States citizenship. Senate Bill 559, an act to permit financing for certain storm recovery costs. House Bill 231, an act consistent with the House Bill 966 of the 2019 regular session to appropriate funds to provide legislatively mandated salary increases to employees of the University of North Carolina system and the North Carolina Community College system, and to provide one-time cost of living supplements for retirees of the teachers in the state employees retiring system, and consolidate judicial retirement system and legislative retirement system. House Bill 377, an act to ensure teachers, instructional support personnel to assist principals receiving salaries increased based on years of experience, to authorize salary supplements for highly qualified North Carolina teacher graduates, and to, consistent with the House Bill 966, the 2019 regular session, to appropriate funds to improve legislatively mandated salary increases of principals. House Bill 398, an act consistent with the House Bill 966, 2019 regular session, to make appropriations for the Department of Information Technology and Information Technology projects.
Chapter bills will be noted. Members, we're going to be recessing before we take up a few of the bills today, because I know there's going to be a Republican caucus, but the chair does believe there's a couple bills we could dispose of that
that may be non-controversial and obtain little debate. So we're going to give that a try. House Bill 181, the clerk will read.
Representative Conrad, House Bill 181, a bill to be entitled Yanceyville, Greensboro, McDowell County Board of Education, General Assembly, North Carolina, enacts.
This is on for third reading for the conference report. The lady from Forsyth, Representative Conrad, is recognized for a motion as to the conference report.
Yes, again, for the third reading, I move adoption of the conference report. We had a good vote yesterday and certainly appreciate your support again. Thank you.
The lady has moved adoption of the conference report. For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Conrad, does the...
I'm sorry, report.
If it's about Greensboro, you probably want to...
Actually, I think I want Representative Dobson. Ask Representative Dobson.
Representative Dobson. Representative Dobson, does the gentleman yield to a question from Representative Harrison?
Do you have the calendar?
He yields.
Yes.
Thank you. Do I understand there is a McDowell County Board of Education provision? Do you mind explaining that? I don't believe you were here yesterday to speak to it.
I apologize. Yes. So this came at the request of the school board in McDowell County. It was an 8-1 vote by the school board to change the district from one area of the county to the next, but it was not a heavy-handed ploy. It was at the request of the school board.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson Rice?
A question from the gentleman, Representative Dobson.
For Dobson, Representative Dobson, gentleman yield? He yields.
Representative Dobson, I hadn't looked at this bill the last day or two, but I believe this is the one that changes the Board of Education members by elementary school zone attendance. Is that correct?
So one member from each of the six elementary attendance zones, Old Fort, PG, North Cove, Nebo, West Marion, and Glenwood, and two members elected in the 2020 election, and one from member elected in 2022 from either of the following, and that's the Eastfield area and the Marion Elementary area.
Mr. Speaker, may I ask an additional question?
Gentleman, yield.
I yield.
He yields.
And so are these just residency districts, or are these the actual voting districts?
They're just residency districts. The whole county votes on each area, but it's just a residency district.
Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of the conference report on third reading for House Bill 181. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 72 having voted in the affirmative, 37 in the negative. The House does adopt the conference report on third reading of House Bill 181, and the Senate will be so notified. We'll skip down to Senate Bill 419. The clerk will read.
Senators Bridge, Johnson, and McInnes, Senate Bill 419, a bill to be entitled an act to make technical, clarifying, and other changes to statutes and session laws. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Actually, members, we're going to need to displace that bill. Chair's informed there may be some amendments to that one, so we're going to temporarily displace that. For what purpose, lady from Surrey, Representative... That was on that bill? Okay. House Bill 111, clerk will read.
Representative Lambert, House Bill 111, a bill to be entitled an act to enact a base budget for certain state agencies, departments, and institutions for the 2019-2021 fiscal biennium. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Before we debate the bill, lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Carney, the lady's wanting to change her vote. Is that correct?
On a previous yes, on matter? The previous bill to a no.
The lady will be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 181. Representative Belk, is that the same request from the lady? Representative Belk will also be counted as a no vote on the prior matter on House Bill 181. Gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lambeth, is recognized to debate the bill.
Have a motion for concurrence on this bill.
Gentleman is recognized for a motion to concur.
Members, I think we all know that there's been a lot going on related to the budget, many budgets, and quite frankly, when our state agencies get their monthly reports, they see actual spends, but they have no budget to compare that against, so they really don't know how they're doing against the continuing resolution, the many budgets, and the changes we make. We've worked with the governor's staff, the Senate and the House, and what this bill does is basically take and clean up the mini budgets, continuing resolution, to give the state agencies a budget column so they know how they're doing relative to their actual spend. I don't think there's anybody opposed to this. We've all worked cooperatively in a bipartisan way to get this done, and I urge your support. There's nothing in here that this body and the governor's office has not approved. They're all approved items. We're just doing a lot of cleanup work to get this in a situation where we can manage our actual spend relative to our financial plan.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the motion to concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 111. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 109 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. The House does concur with the Senate committee substitute to House Bill 111. Bill is ordered enrolled and sent to the governor.
Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, gentleman from Orange? President Meyer, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to ask to be recorded as an aye on House Bill 181.
The gentleman be recorded as having voted aye on
Thank
House you. Bill 181. For what purpose, gentleman from Cumberland? Representative Lucas, rise.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to record his voting no on 181.
On 181?
Yes, sir.
On that local bill?
Yes, sir.
Gentleman be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 181. For what purpose, delay from Wilson, Representative Farmer Butterfield, rise.
I changed my vote on House Bill 181 to no.
The lady will be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 181. Members, the chair is about to put the House into recess. Majority Leader, Representative Bell, recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Republicans of caucus immediately upon recess at 12:28. Thank you.
Actually, let's handle one more calendar matter before the chair does. Representative Stevens is recognized. Send forth the conference report. Clerk will read.
House Bill 470 to the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The conference is appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and House of Representatives on House Bill 470, a bill to be entitled an act to make various changes and technical corrections to the law governing the administration of justice. Senate Judiciary Committee substitute adopt 10-9-19, submit the following report. The conferees recommend that the Senate and the House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approve report October 31st, 2019. Conferees from the Senate, Senator Daniel, Chair, Senators Rabin, Brown, Newton, and Britt. Conferees for the House of Representatives, Representative Stevens, Chair, Representatives Richardson, Bowles, and Hall.
Counter Senate Rule 44D. At a request, add it to today's calendar. Is there objection to that? Hearing none, so ordered. Members, subject to the standard stipulations, the chair is going to. You want to make an announcement, Representative Jackson? Gentleman's recognized.
House Democrats, since we just finished in caucus, we won't have another caucus, but I will just note for you that House Bill 470 conference report was just read in, and so you might want to spend the time reviewing it. It's a pretty long bill. Just make sure if you have any questions, see Representative Richardson or Representative Stevens.
What purpose, gentleman from Wake, Representative Martin Rice?
To be recorded as voting no on House Bill 181.
Gentleman be recorded as having voted no on House Bill 181. Subject to the standard stipulations, the chair is going to put the House in recess until 10:50. Representative Fraley, gentleman wish to vote? Representative John, gentleman wish to vote on the amendment? Representative Richardson, how does gentleman wish to be recorded? Richardson, aye. Corker, Watt, Machine, record the vote. 109, having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative, the amendment's adopted. Representative Jackson, recognized, send forth amendment ATC 98. Corker, read.
Representative Jackson moves to amend the bill on page 11, line 9, by rewriting that line to read.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, this provision of the bill deals with adding the superintendent of public instruction as an elected official who can sign off on approval of these bonds. For apparently, a local community was unwilling, the elected officials in that community were unwilling to sign off on some funding, some bond funds or bonding project for a local charter school. And so there's been a request to add the superintendent of DPI. My amendment would simply say that if the superintendent chooses to do this, to be the one to approve these bonds, that there's a hearing required by federal law, and that the hearing take place in the county where this project is located. What I don't want is some of the mountain counties or the coastal counties requesting the superintendent to do this and him holding the hearing in Raleigh where none of the local people can attend. And I think that's a good compromise, and I'd ask for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of Amendment A3. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Quick, did the gentleman intend to be the only no vote? Representative Yarbrough on the floor. Corkelock Machine recorded the vote. 109, having voted in the affirmative, none, the negative. The amendment's adopted. Representative Lambeth recognized, send forth amendment AMR 77. Corkel read.
Representative Lambeth moves to amend the bill on page 15, lines 1 through 2, by inserting the following between the sections between the lines.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, in our budget, there are four areas designated as block grants. Those areas are the Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Triangle Residential Options for Substance Abuse, which is TROSA, and the Boys and Girls Club under Section 14E, and then the funds allocated to the Cross Trail Outfitters. Essentially, there's some questions about whether these could be released, and this clarifies and allows the department to go ahead and release these grants. There's no controversy around these items that I'm aware of. They are the same amounts in the budget. We are normally standard in allocating funds to these agencies, nonprofit agencies, and I ask for your support of this amendment.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, the adoption of Amendment A4. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative McGrady, wish to vote on the amendment? Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 109, having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative, the amendment is adopted. Now for an explanation on the bill. Any members desire an explanation on the bill? Say it is third reading. If not, the question before the House, the passage of Senate Bill 419 on its third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 107 having voted in the affirmative, 3 in the negative. Senate Bill 419 passed its third reading. Bill is ordered engrossed and returned to the Senate. Senate Bill 537, the clerk will read.
Senators Heiss, Kroeg, and Bishop, Senate Bill 537, a bill to be entitled License and HHS Amends Rural Health Stabilization, General Assembly of North Carolina Act.
Gentleman from McDowell, Representative Dobson, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I make a motion that we do concur with the conference report.
Gentleman's moved to adoption of the conference report. The gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, Senate Bill 537 is a 55-page bill and all but about 6 pages or so are technical and conforming in nature. The Senate passed the bill last night, 49-1, and I want to thank Senator Wells, Senator Krawick, Senator Brown, Representative White, Representative Lambeth, their work on this bill as well. All of these provisions, except for Part 3N, have been approved by the House in some form or fashion already. Part 1 establishes the new adult care home payment methodology. Parts 2, A and B, changes to the Licensed Professional Counselor Act, technical. Parts 2, C through 8, changes to the Substance Abuse Professional Act. Part 2I, amend the Social Worker Practice Act. Part 3, A through M, these were changes requested by the Department of Health and Human Services that were included initially in House Bill 250. Part 3 has been a delicate compromise to postpone deployment of NCFAST case management functionality for Child Welfare System, Aging and Adult Services Program. Part 3 is a criminal history records check for child care institutions. Part 4 is an involuntary commitment change at the request of the LMEs. Part 5 is the Rural Health Care Stabilization Fund and House Bill 704, Version 3, that we've already passed as well. Members, I'd appreciate your support for this bill. This is not a hill to die on. This is a bill that has garnered support on both sides of the aisle, and I would appreciate your support here today. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
We're actually going to temporarily displace the bill.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye, for what purpose, lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison Rice.
May I please be recorded as a no on third reading on 419, please?
Lady will be recorded as having voted no on third reading on House Bill 419. For what purpose, lady from Buncombe, Representative Fisher Rice.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Same request, sir.
The lady will be recorded as having voted no on Senate Bill 419.
Thank you.
Members, we're going to try to dispose of one other bill if we can, and then we may just go ahead and take a recess to come back after lunch. The Finance Committee is going to meet to take up a bill, but Chair would like to dispose of a couple of the bills that we need to get back over to the Senate. So if the members could, there were two bills that we did on second reading yesterday that are third. If we could, Chair would like to try to get those back to the other side of the building if we could. And so we'll try to move through those as expeditiously as we can. That being said, Senate Bill 578, Clerk will read.
Senator Sawyer, Senate Bill 578, a bill to maintain an act to reduce the franchise tax and modify film grant limits. General Assembly of North Carolina, an act.
Gentleman from Commonwealth, Representative Soka, recognized to speak to the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Very briefly, we had a good debate last night. It passed. I would ask for a yes vote today. Thank you.
Representative Pittman, does the gentleman still wish to have his amendment heard?
Yes, sir.
Chairman's recognized, Senate Fourth Amendment. Clerk will read.
Representative Pittman moves to amend the bill on page 1, line 2, by rewriting the line to read.
Chairman's recognized to debate the amendment.
Thanks, sir. I think I made it pretty clear yesterday. I support the first section of this bill. The tax reduction is something I do believe in. However, the second section that I'd like to remove from the bill is a bit different. I don't normally acknowledge Halloween, but since today is Halloween and we are talking about film incentives, I guess I'm going to use an analogy from those movies that my brother and I used to stay up late at night and watch when we were kids. So I'm going to use the analogy of a coven of vampires. I understand that Section 2 does not increase the blood supply for those vampires, just kind of spreads it out. And what would often happen in those movies is, you know, you have a coven and they just add more and more vampires. And so that's what I believe Section 2 does. It adds more vampires to the mix, makes the coven bigger. But the thing I understand, even though this portion of this bill does not add to the blood supply, it just spreads it out, you know, I can assure you that once you have more of those bloodsuckers, eventually they're going to demand more blood. And while I can't cut off the supply of blood today, I would like to try to stop adding to the number of vampires. That's what this is about. And I would appreciate you supporting this amendment because I would like to get rid of this portion so that I can vote for Section 1. I've been told, well, you voted for the budget and it was in it. Well, yeah, that's true because there's a lot of good things in the budget. A lot of stuff like this that I didn't like, but I had to vote for the budget because it had so many good things in it. If this had been a standalone bill at that time, I would have done the same thing I'm doing now. I can't take all the bad stuff out of the budget, but when something's a standalone bill and I can fight something that I believe is wrong, then I believe I have the duty and the responsibility to the people of this state, the taxpayers, to stand up and do that. So that's why I'm offering this amendment, and I would appreciate it. I know I probably won't get it passed, but I just want you to understand why I'm doing it, and I hope some of you at least will realize that that we need to stop making more vampires. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell Rice?
For a motion.
The gentleman may state his motion.
Move to previous question, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman has moved the previous question as to Amendment A1. Those in favor of the previous question will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 61 having voted in the affirmative, 48 in the negative. The previous question have been called. The question before the body now is the adoption of Amendment A1 sent forward by Representative Pittman. Those in favor of the adoption of Amendment A1 will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 4 having voted in the affirmative and 106 in the negative, the amendment fails. For what purpose, gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell Rice?
We recognize for a motion.
Gentleman's recognized for a motion.
I move the previous question on the bill.
Gentleman's moved the previous question of the bill on third reading. Those in favor of the motion will vote aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 62 having voted in the affirmative, 48 in the negative. Previous question is adopted. Either the majority or minority leader desire 3 minutes to speak on the third reading. 3 minutes.
I do. Yes.
Gentleman's recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Really disappointed that Representative Bell called the question on that. Yesterday we had a little bit of a rules debate, and we're told that get it in writing, and we will do it today. And the gentleman had his light on, and he's got his motion in writing to accomplish what Representative Pittman and some others wanted to do to divide the question, and we just called the question. So that's not going to be allowed after we were told yesterday it would be. I'm going to ask you to vote against this bill. This is we're just spending a lot of time spinning our wheels for something we know that's going to be vetoed. And we're going to be right back here doing it again. We're not moving the ball forward, not one bit today. We're just throwing an incomplete pass. I wish we'd get to some things that we need to talk about, like Medicaid expansion. Hopefully we'll do that before the day's out.
Majority leader desire 3 minutes. Question before the House, passage of Senate Bill 578 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 61 having voted in the affirmative and 49 in the negative. Senate Bill 578 passes its third reading. The bill is ordered returned to the Senate. House Bill 470, clerk will read.
House Bill
House Bill 470, a bill to be entitled, an act to make various changes to technical corrections to the law governing the administrative of justice, General Assembly, North Carolina Act.
Late from Surrey, Representative Stevens recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, members of the House. I always like to be brief when I talk about a bill because the longer you talk, the more it raises too many questions and too much conversation. These are a lot of changes requested by different departments. I think we've given you the opportunity to explore them. We've explored them with the Senate. These are all things we agreed upon. Representative Richardson, Representative Bowles, Representative Hall were in the conference committee report with me, and I'll be happy to stand for any to answer any specific question you may have about any specific provision.
The lady has moved adoption of the conference report to House Bill 470. Further discussion, further debate. For what purpose the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
May I ask a bill sponsor a question, please?
Representative Stevens, the lady yield?
I do.
She yields.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Stevens, for bringing the bill for the conference report forward. I'm looking at page 15, line 21. This is part 4. And it relates to... it seems to be removing the discretion on decisions about judges' decisions about returning to duty. That section, a continuance requested to fulfill an obligation of service by carrying out any duties as a member of the General Assembly or service on the Rules Review Commission or any other board, commission, or authority, as long as appointee of the governor, lieutenant governor, or General Assembly, must be granted. And I was just curious about the reason for taking away that discretion.
Thank you for the question. We have had it in there always that it is a definition of good cause shown that you are serving here. We are having some judges refusing to grant continuances, which would impede the ability of members to actually get here for session. We also included the governor and the lieutenant governor because they have people who sometimes have specific duties they have to do, and we were not having courts honor that good cause shown. One example is one member who needed to be here for session, and the judge actually entered an order against his clients when he had notified the court that he couldn't be there. So we have to give a more specific directive to those judges.
Thank you. I appreciate that. One more question, please.
Right, you.
I do.
Shields.
Thank you. And it involves the next section, part five, towards the bottom of the page. I am just curious about that. I recall seeing some language related to this issue in a separate bill. I'm not sure if we ever passed it, relating to the Judicial Standards Commission. I just wondered. It seems like the Judicial Standards Commission is something that the Judicial Standards Commission judges should be in charge of deciding there. But if you could provide some enlightenment, please.
Yes, thank you. Apparently, the Judicial Commission got into an argument or debate with a judge over how a judge had in fact ruled in a case while the case was still on appeal and still pending some final determination. It had to do with things that were put in an order that order had not, the validity of the order had not been questioned, but there was, and I can't be more specific than that really, but that a written complaint was filed by somebody who didn't like the order and they were going to start a commission investigation on that. Is that appropriate? It probably should have been more specific something about the demeanor in the courtroom. But whatever was in the order was still subject to appeal at that point.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Autry, rise?
To debate the bill.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I was really pleased to see Section 3 in this bill about statewide e-filing in the courts. The software in our court system is a big concern to me as we are now the ninth most populous state. We hear about 2.7 million cases every year, and that's producing enough paperwork every year to fill a shell 4 miles long. In 2015, former Supreme Court Chief Justice Mark Martin instituted and seated a commission on the study of the administration of law and justice in North Carolina. And regarding the software, they mentioned that how a lot of these were developed in-house, mostly on platforms that are becoming obsolete, and the people who are maintaining these applications are beginning to retire out of the system. And a lot of these applications were written in computer languages that aren't even being taught any further. They listed a number of initiatives that needed to be taken up to address the issue, including governance, metrics, reporting and analytics, enterprise information system management, integrated case management system, e-filing, financial management system, electronic public access, and judicial workbench. My concern is that to move forward with the e-filing system without completely appreciating and allowing for how all of these systems need to work together to have a more efficient court system, without those being in consideration in this effort, I think that's a problem and a shortcoming from the system. I do support the bill. I certainly hope it passes. I just wish that we could be a little more thoughtful about how we approach the software needs in our court systems. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Wake, Representative John Rice?
See if Representative Stevens will respond to a question.
Representative Stevens, the lady yield.
I will.
She yields.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative Stevens. As I understand it, the provisions of this bill dealing with the courts came from our House Bill 226, which was subsequently stripped in the Senate and made a mini-budget. Is that correct?
I think so. I don't specifically recall.
Okay. Assuming that's the case, and I do believe it is. I'm sorry. Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
The lady yield?
I do.
She yields.
Thank you. Assuming that's the case, and I do believe it is, House Bill 226, which passed this body 109-0, contained a provision striking the requirement that the court notify all government entities directly affected prior to waiving any court costs. That's not included in House Bill 470, and I wondered if you could, if you knew why.
I'll be happy to elaborate. The Senate doesn't agree with us on that. And I agree with you. I agree it's something we need to look at. It is part of some things that are cluttering up our criminal system. And I agree with you on that. But my discussions with the Senate have been, I'm trying to mellow them, but they're not there yet.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, Representative Stevens.
What purpose the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Surrey, the lady yield.
I yield.
She yields.
Thank you. And Representative Stevens, I think overall this is a good bill. I have a question on Section 3 on the statewide e-filings in courts, which I know that the court system is very much in favor of. My question is on lines 41 through 44, B1, directing the Supreme Court to promulgate the rules, and then the rules shall require registration to participate in e-filing. Is there any other parameters? What does that mean?
Thank you for the question. And this was one of the biggest subjects of controversy for us moving forward in the e-courts. One of our concerns was about pro se plaintiffs and how they will be specifically identified prior to filing. As attorneys, when we become attorneys, we are sworn. We have to give an affidavit. We have to be sworn in court that we are there as representatives of the court, that we will be officers of the court, we will be truthful. My concern with e-filing for pro se litigants is how do we know that they are who they say they are? I could go to the library computer and establish a site that says, I am George Cleveland, and I want to sue William Brisson. How are you going to know I'm not who I say I am? And so my concern was having an initial pro se litigant at least appear with some form of ID, some way of verifying that they are in fact who they are. After that point, they can be assigned a number that allows them to get back into the system. They can file their complaint. They can file their responses, and they don't have to come and do that again. But on a first blush, we need some way to specifically identify who the pro se litigant, that they are who they say they are.
Thank you. Follow up, Mr. Speaker.
Lady yield.
I do.
Shields.
Thank you, Representative Stevens. So it's your thought that any pro se litigant who wants to do an e-filing must appear personally before a clerk for this verification of identity.
That's my personal thought, but everyone else who was with us, we had this discussion and said there should be some way of verification that that pro se litigant is who they are. At this point, the pro se litigant has to have their complaint notarized. They typically have to come to court and do the filing, and this will at least save them future steps that once they are properly identified and have been assigned a number or an account or however we're going to do this, then that would be the only time.
And just a follow-up clarification.
Shields.
Would it be possible for them to do that electronically for some type of identification? But the Supreme Court would make up these rules.
Right. That's why we're asking them to get the rules and let us know what would be an acceptable form. They've talked about, you know, be able to use some Social Security or driver's license number or something like that. And if we're integrated with that system, that works fine. But if we're not integrated with that system, we're looking to keep the integrity of the court, to keep the verification that the person doing these filings that have very significant legal consequences are who they say they are.
Thank you. And one last follow-up.
Shields.
Thank you. The only other concern I have is raising the performing marriage ceremony from $20 to $50 to be collected by the magistrate. We're more than doubling the filing fee for people trying to get a marriage ceremony. Was that a request by AOC or the clerks?
I will tell you that the speaker had the same concern you did, and I was advised between the Senate and the House appropriations people that all of this was in the budget. And it was part of the budget, part of some of the revenue considerations for the appellate, for the court system. They had not been raised in a long time. As one of our conference members said, hey, $50 to get married, it makes you think about it.
Further discussion, further debate?
Speak on the bill.
Ladies recognize debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I think overall this is a good bill. I think some of the concerns have been pointed out. We are trying to anticipate and implement e-filing, and that is for simplification. So if the rules go to the Supreme Court to make it easy for pro se litigants to get the paperwork done electronically, I think that's the goal of it, and I hope that's the subsequent rules that come out. And finally, I am reluctant to take away from the Judicial Standards Commission their discretion on how to investigate cases that are against judges, be it matters of conduct, that all, most of the time, are intertwined with their ultimate rulings. And I don't like to see the General Assembly tie the hands of the Judicial Standards Commission. Otherwise, thank you. I think it's a good bill.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of the conference report to House Bill 470. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 107 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. The House does adopt the conference report to House Bill 470. The Senate will be so notified. Members, on motion of Representatives Humphrey, Representative Perrin-Jones, Representative Bell, and the Chair. The Chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Angela Moss of Chapel Hill, who is also a member of the ECU Board of Trustees. So I'm glad to have you here with us today. Please stand so we can thank you and welcome.
Senate Bill 354, the clerk will read.
Senators Ballard, Edwards, and Harrington. Senate Bill 354, a bill to be entitled Strengthening the Educators Pay Act, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Cleveland, Representative Moore is recognized.
Madam Speaker, for a motion to adopt the conference report.
Have Florida adopt the motion and to speak on the motion.
Thank you very much. Members, this is, as you know, I don't debate bills very often. Miss that sometimes, sometimes not so much. But this is a bill that I'm very proud of and that I'm hoping that we get unanimous support on today. We, of course, adopted a budget back in June. That budget is now over with the Senate, and so things are in a bit of a stalemate right now. And so the question comes up about what is the commitment of the House of Representatives and the Senate to public education. And I think we have a very robust bill in what we passed in the budget. I'm hopeful it eventually will become law. Well, we also had the pleasure of having a surplus this year in the budget. We came in with another $270 million in additional revenue for the state, due, frankly, to a lot of good decisions made in this room and made in the room across the hall, establishing a great environment when it comes to tax, regulatory policy, investment in education, investment in economic development, investment in our infrastructure, so that North Carolina, as we are standing in this state today, is now one of the fastest growing states in the country. It's a state that now has some of the lowest unemployment. It's a state that is receiving more revenue because we tax at a lower rate, but we have more people here and we have more prosperity. It's something every one of us in this room should be very proud of, to have had a small part that we have in seeing that North Carolina has developed a very robust economy. And as a result, we are seeing very positive revenues from that. Well, when we got our revenue numbers back, we said we can go in and add to a lot of the good things that we did in this year's budget. So where we are today before you is a conference report that would further expand investment in public education in this state. How much money, you might ask? Well, the amount of additional money over the 2 years, additional money in this bill is $245,488,949. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. Nearly a quarter of $1 billion in additional spending in public education. So it would comes to salaries. So where did we do it? Community college pay. In our budget that we passed, we appropriated a 1% pay increase per year for a total of 2% for all of our hardworking community college faculty and staff. Well, we have now doubled that to 2% as a result of that. With our University of North Carolina, in our budget, we appropriated a sum of 0.5% that we give to the UNC Board of Governors that they can then appropriate within the system to particularly to deal with those high need professions that we have and to make sure that we give salary adjustments and salary increases to those hardworking faculty and staff. We appropriated 0.5%. In this proposal, we didn't just double it, we quadrupled it. We went from 0.5% to 2% per year. So instead just a total of 1%, it's now a total of 4%. That's, again, significant money. That in and of itself is an additional $122 million. I'm going to come to teacher pay in just a moment. I want to go to our non-certified pay. We heard a lot of discussion about our non-certified employees, our school bus drivers, our cafeteria workers, those who are there providing the valuable support to make sure that our kids in K through 12 have a great environment to learn, to be able to be that support necessary for our hardworking teachers. In our budget that we passed, we put in a 1% pay raise for that. We were able now to go back and increase that to actually a total of 4.5% over the 2 years. How do we do that? We doubled it each year from 1% to 2%. So that's 2% year one, 2% year two for a total of 4%. And on top of that, did a 0.5% bonus that those same employees will get in the second year of the biennium for a 4.5% raise there. We also fully funded the what I think is an amazing scholarship program for the School of Science and Math, where those kids, some of our best and brightest who go to the School of Science and Math, who graduate from there, well, now we appropriated money in the budget for free tuition, but it only covered 1 year. We were able to expand that to guarantee all 4 years of tuition. That is something that will pay dividends for years to come, because we've invested so much in these young people who are graduating with degrees in STEM, which is where we know the economy is growing. We know that's the need. We've invested all this money in high school. Don't we want to keep them here for college? Don't we want them going to a UNC school instead of, you know, Cal Berkeley or going to MIT? We want them to stay here in North Carolina. This provides that incentive to do it. And last but certainly not least, I want to talk about teacher pay. In the budget we passed this year, we gave an average raise of 3.9%. What this does is this adds another full half point to that. So it's now a 4.4% raise for teachers. Now bear in mind, if you look at the past sessions, teachers have had the largest pay raises over the last few sessions. That's a fact. And they've had those pay raises. So this, I believe, will be what, the seventh or eighth consecutive budget that we have passed that has again raised teacher pay. So in summary, where are we? UNC, these faculty and staff would have a 4% raise. Community college, these employees would also have a 4% raise. Assistant principals are tied to the teacher page with the same amount. Non-certified employees get a 4% raise and a 0.5% bonus on the non-certified. These are great investments that we are making in our hardworking folks who are in public education. Now, whether you supported the initial budget or you didn't support the initial budget, this is an opportunity for every member of this House to say that we agree with this. This is a great investment. This is money well spent. This is I don't know how anyone can't say, as I read some of the press comments, but you know what? Those comments were made yesterday. You can do something different today if you spoke against it. I don't know how anybody can say that $250 million in new money is not serious and it's not investment. If you support public education in North Carolina, you'll vote yes for this bill, and I appreciate your support.
What purpose, gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson Rise?
Speak on the conference report.
You have the floor to speak on the conference report.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, I want to start by thanking the House Democratic Caucus and for the governor of this state for vetoing this bill, and for our caucus for standing behind his veto. Because make no mistake about it, ladies and gentlemen, we wouldn't be here talking about a supplemental bill if that budget bill had gone through at the end of June. So we're still here, and we're still fighting for teacher pay and fairness and raises, and we're able to do that because the Democrats are stuck together and because of the governor. So I want to say thank you. I'm not going to say $250 million is not substantial investment. What I will say is it's not good enough. And I know some of you will say it's never good enough to Democrats, and that's fine. I get it. If any one of the Republicans who's shaking their head want to stand up and explain to me why the janitor working at my son's school, who has to clean up bathrooms after a bunch of teenage boys, deserves to get less of a raise than the janitor working in this building, I'm happy to listen to that debate. Why do teachers deserve less of a raise than other state employees? Last year we did a good thing, and we made $15 an hour, the minimum wage, for many state employees. Many state employees, however, were left out of that minimum wage increase, and those are the people working in the janitorial pool in our schools, the lunch ladies at the cafeteria, and the bus drivers. So not only do we say that they are not deserving of $15 an hour 2 years ago, now we're saying they're not even deserving of the same 5% raise that everybody else is getting. And by the way, the teachers only get that extra 0.5% if the original budget gets overridden. So we're not even willing to do a mini budget just giving them 4.4%. We still have to have a gimmick to get it passed. I'm going to ask you to vote against this bill. I think we all know where this bill is headed, so I won't take too much time. But I do want to say again, we can do better. If we stick together, we'll continue to do better for teachers, for our non-certified employees, for our community college employees, for our university employees. The money is there. The availability is present. We have a choice to make. Do we want to give it away in corporate tax cuts, or do we want to invest in public education? So I vote no. I vote in public education. Thank you.
For what purpose is the lady from Wake, Representative Ball, rise?
To debate the conference report.
You have the floor to debate the conference report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think a lot of us know that our teachers wear red on Wednesdays, and those of us who support public education are encouraged to do the same. Well, I'm wearing red again today for public education, and here's why. As many of you know, I'm a professional mediator, and I came to this chamber thinking of myself as an optimist, willing to cross the aisle and work together with folks and negotiate. Today's discussion of public school teacher pay reminds me of the proverb, when there's a will, there's a way. Do we really lack the will to come together and remedy a gross deficiency in teacher pay that has brought unwanted national attention to our state? On July 9th, Governor Cooper put forth a plan for an 8.5% teacher pay raise that would keep North Carolina competitive in teacher salaries. Competitive, not at the very top of the national pay scale, but competitive. And since then, Governor Cooper has offered many times, it's my understanding, many times, to sit down with us in this General Assembly and negotiate between what was in the conference report and what was in his compromise proposal. And as far as I know, that has not occurred. Instead, today what is being offered, a 4.4% raise, including the step increase, by the way, does little to address the underpayment of men and women who work tirelessly to help build a brighter future for our children and for the North Carolina that I love and that I know you love. As has already been mentioned, how can we offer our educators less than we are giving our state and other state employees? Do we lack the will to do what's right? How can we continue to give tax cuts to large corporations instead of restoring teaching to an honored profession that I grew up believing it was and continue to think it is? Do we lack the will to do what's right there as well? We need a budget that raises education funding to pre-recession levels and incentivizes the recruitment and retention of teachers and provides the resources needed. I have the will to accomplish these things, and I'm willing to stick around here for a while until we can arrive to a pathway that does that and heads us into a bright future. I hope you'll join me in doing that. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Craven, Representative Speciale, arise?
Speak on the bill.
You have the floor to speak on the bill. The amendment, a conference report.
Conference report, bill, whatever. Amendment. I can't believe the nonsense I'm hearing about we can do better. Again, I'm going to say what I said the other day. You didn't do better. You didn't do better. This is work done by a lot of people putting this bill together, coming up with this money, trying to help our teachers and employees. And we're just, some of you are just going to sit here and say, we can do better. Because you have a different letter at the end of your end of your name. That's ridiculous. This partisanship has got to stop in here. We're one body who's supposed to be pulling together for the people of this state, and we're sitting here at the end of October, going into November, because we have a stalemate, because people are scared to vote their conscience, because we have a governor who's running roughshod over them, and we want to sit here and debate and say that this bill that spends $250 million giving teachers and employees a pay raise is not good enough. And this is in addition.
You will suspend. For what purpose does the lady from Buncombe, Representative Fisher, rise?
I wanted to make an inquiry of the chair, please.
Do you misstate your inquiry?
Wondering about if the current speaker is staying on topic.
Your point is taken. I believe you are on topic. You may proceed.
That is the topic. The bottom line is we've got a bill here that's $250 million on top of
the raises that are in the budget that should have been passed a few months ago. But because we've got politics, we're playing politics here, the people of this state are paying the penalty. This is a good bill. I think everyone in this room knows it's a good bill. But here we are. Here we are playing politics. I think everybody in this room needs to support this bill. And I can't, for the world of me, see why anybody would not.
What purpose, gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Richardson, arise?
To debate the conference report.
You have the floor to debate the conference report.
Members, I'm apologizing to you, but I'm going to raise this issue again. Why are we discussing teacher raises when we've got a mediocre system? And we all know it. Why would a teacher want to teach in a mediocre system? Let's get serious about this and fix the problem. The problem is we're in an information age where jobs are going to be coming at us right and left that our children are not going to be prepared for. We need to be a top five school system in the country. We have the resources to do it. We have the ability to do it. We just lack the political will to do it. And we ought to be ashamed of ourselves for not doing it because we're failing these children daily. The world is coming upon us. Change is coming upon us. And we are not prepared for it. And it is time that we stop fighting over a 4% raise or a 9% raise and give our teachers a first-class system to teach in and to pay teachers a professional wage that will create a first-class system that will keep more teachers coming into the system. Until we do that, we're playing political games. I'm going to vote for this because I believe we need to get teacher salaries up, and every chance I get, I'm going to do that. But by golly, let's call for a special committee to put together a global fix to this problem. Let's put back the fellows program. Let's pay for masters and PhD. Let's have sabbaticals for teachers. Let's create technology in the classroom that's going to get our children ready for the next age that's coming upon us. We are not doing service to our children, and it's our fault. And it's also educators' fault for not advocating for a top five system. We need that. Let's do it.
What purpose is the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, arise?
To speak to the bill.
To speak to the conference report.
Conference report. Thank you.
You're recognized.
You know, normally I don't get up and say anything, but when we start attacking each other, well, y'all can laugh if you want to. I don't talk that much. But when we start attacking each other over a serious issue and talking about what has been, we're not in yesterday, we're in today. And it disturbed me when Representative Fashali said what he said. I won't repeat it. But this issue is about all of North Carolina children. Not your children, not my children. It's everybody's child. And it's not a laughing matter, and it's not a joke. But we haven't done the right thing. And yes, we can do better. We can do better. But do we want to do better? That's the question. Do we want to do better? It is so disturbing to hear some of the things attacking our colleagues. We came here to work together to negotiate, which little is being done. It is not your way. It is not my way. And that is not how life is. We're supposed to work together. It's time to be reasonable. It's time to be practical, logical. It's not a joke. Our children are waiting for us to do right by them. And how do we do that? How do we do that? We give them the proper teachers, the proper principals, the proper superintendents, the well-trained social workers, psychologists, nurses. But we can't expect to get the best if we don't want to pay for it. Enough is enough. Thank you.
What purpose is the gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Lucas, rise?
To speak on the conference report.
You have the floor to speak on the conference report.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, we can banter this back and forth to infinity. But if we're going to get serious about education in this state, we must get serious. Our parents are sending us the very best children that they have. It's up to us to provide the resources for those who are charged with the responsibility of fostering their education. I take education very seriously. We can teach all our children at any time that we choose. It's just a matter of providing the resources that are needed and the climate that is needed to move our children forward to reach the levels that we desire in our proud state. So if we can do better with education, the challenge is on us to do just that. We have ways of doing better. It's great that we're giving the raises. I'm happy to get those. Being a former teacher, I commend each and every one of those. I commend the educational climate when it's fostered in the right direction. But I also know that we have schools that are threatened with ISD, and that bothers me because those are someone's children. We have to do better as a state. Collectively, the charge is on us to do better. I will commit to doing better. We have some resources right now on the table. All we've got to do is bring them forth. And hopefully we will before we leave here to make this system better, to get our teachers to the point. Money is not just all that they're after. They're after a successful climate in those classrooms. Just ask them. We can do it. It's up to us. Only we can do that. We must make it better for our students, our teacher assistants, everybody who's involved in education with all the resources that are needed to do that. We have that opportunity to do that. Whether we do it or not, it's up to us. So yes, since I feel that we can do better, I must say that we should do better. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
What purpose, gentleman from Wilkes, Representative Elmore, rise?
To speak about the conference report.
You have the floor to speak on the conference report.
Yesterday, we presented this in education appropriations with the hope that there would be some questions about the actual specific details that were in that is in the bill, and I see that it is turned into more philosophical type arguments. I'm a teacher myself. I'm at 19 years. I just want to talk about a few of the comments that were made. And first of all, I don't feel like our school system is mediocre. I've worked in it 20 years. We can always do better. And as an educator, we know we can always do better. Even if our kids are superior, we want to take them to superior plus two, superior plus four. So we have hardworking employees across the state right now working each and every day to make a child's life better. So I don't want to say that our system is mediocre. And we are working from the bottom of our schools to the top of our schools to improve. Because yes, another bill that I dealt with was brought up. It is hard when the reality of a school is that you have less than 8% of the kids reading. We can do better, and we're pushing to try to do better. Now let me give you some reality on what's happening right now on the ground. When I left earlier this week, I said, I'm going down to try to deal with the education part of the budget. The employees are not hearing what you're saying on the floor. At this point, they're not cared if it's the Democrat or the Republican, unless they are very partisan. When is this going to happen? Our pay is frozen. Some of the younger teachers haven't experienced frozen pay. They don't even know what that is. They got their first paycheck and they were like, this is supposed to be at this level. What happened? Because we made a commitment several years ago, and you have to talk about the past to put this into context. We made a commitment. One of the first things I did when I was down here, I was part of just unfreezing the scales. That was one of the biggest pay raises I got.
because I finally got at the level that I was supposed to be at. They hadn't lived through that. So one of the older teachers talked with her and said, oh, yes, we've gone through pay freezes before. It kind of happens. And what happens is it freezes, and then it talk. And you could be frozen for a year, and then all of a sudden you get a big raise. That's kind of how it used to operate. The younger teachers were kind of shocked on that. That's what we're doing now. This is stuff that we haven't seen in almost a decade. They're not hearing your speeches. They're not talking about how wonderful you want to do the kids, whatever. They've got reality. They got to pay bills. They were expecting money. Their pay has been frozen. It was frozen yesterday. My direct deposit that I got last night, it was frozen. It reminds me of a person that owes me money. And you know, you have met a person like this all the time. You loan them the money, and you expect it to come back. And that person, you know, everybody's got one of these in their life. Oh, I give you the money, and I'm going to give you 10% interest on it. Trust me, I borrowed $100, I'll give you 110 back. And then eventually you have to ask, you know, got any idea on the money? Well, I'll get it to you. I'll give you some more. I'll give you $115 the next time. Well, a few weeks later, you ask them again. Oh, just trust me, I'll give you $125. Guys, this is where the rubber meets the road right here. This bill right here, the first part of it, will enact the raises immediately that were in the budget. So on November 30th, that employee can get back pay for the 2.5 months that they've been frozen this year. Also, for the veteran teacher, get a $500 bonus, 25-year plus. And that can happen if we just vote this through and it's enacted by the governor. Now, the other part is contingent on the budget. But we can make this step to where we're unfreezing. I had a bill yesterday, 377, to where it just unfreezes the steps. That doesn't do anything for the veteran teacher. And many people voted against it. To keep it under lockdown and keep it frozen, you're affecting people. I had a person come to me, one of the teachers. She said, Jeffrey, I'm planning for my retirement. I increased my contribution to my 401k, and now that my pay's frozen, I'm technically taking a pay cut because I was anticipating my step. They were doing financial planning just like we hope all the citizens do. And she's right now in a pay cut because the decision that she made once she signed it, she had to follow through with it. That is people's lives. And the pay raises that we've done in the past, yes, it's made a difference in people's lives. I've had coworkers of mine, because they don't want to talk loud because there are some political activists that are in these schools that they're scared to death of if they say anything, and they whisper in my ear, thank you for the bonuses. Thank you for what you did, because finally I could get another car and trade in my car, and the extra money gave me enough money to do the payments. It is frozen right now, and you're willing to keep it frozen because down the road, I'll get you some more. Trust me, I'll get you some more. Well, when? Year from now? 2 years from now? When's it going to happen? You can do something now to put money in the pocket of the teacher. I would do it. I would appreciate it. I would love it November 30th. Because yesterday I didn't get it. So I talked around the bill just like everybody else, because I went over the specifics last night. And I'm not going to guilt you into doing what you're going to do, because you're going to do what you're going to do anyway. Because I knew the votes before we walked in the room. But this is a small step. This is something you can do immediate to put money in the pockets of the teacher and our university and our custodians and our community college folks. And you heard the numbers from the speaker. This is big money. On the second part, just do what you think's right. And thank you for letting me say a few words on the conference report. I'll be supporting it.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bell, rise?
You recognize for a motion.
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I move to previous question.
Gentleman has moved the previous question. Subject is not debatable. Question before the body is the passage of the motion for the previous question. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. FERC will open the vote. Representative Moore, do you wish to record? Representative Yarborough is not on the floor. Clerk will lock and record the vote. 60 having voted in favor, 47 opposed. Previous question has been adopted, and there is no debate time. So the question before the House is the adoption of the... there is not the three-minute debate time on a conference report. So the question before the body is the passage of the conference report to Senate Bill 354. Clerk will open the vote. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will lock and record the vote. 62 having voted in the affirmative, 46 in the negative. The adoption, the conference report is adopted and shall be restored, and the Senate will be so notified. Stand in recess for, at ease for just a moment.
For what purpose, Gentleman Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, rise.
Inquiry of the chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I know I'm a freshman, and these debates are interesting, but is it the intention of the chair in this body not to allow discussion on bills as they move forward today, to call the question consistently, to allow the question to be called?
I would imagine that it depends on if individuals wish to make those motions on those matters. I think we did have some debate, but... What purpose lay from orange? Representative Insko, rise.
Inquiry of the chair.
The ladies recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I should know this, but I appreciate it if somebody could point out the rule about debates on conference reports.
You're asking about the 3 minute?
I'm on rule 10. Is that the right rule?
Yeah, rule 19 talks about the previous question. Is that the rule?
I was curious about why we wouldn't have a debate on the conference report on third reading.
It's the 3 minute matter actually only applies to second and third readings on bills on main questions. Is that the question about the 3 minutes? About where you get where the majority leader and the minority leader get the 3 minutes after the previous question is called before the question is put. Is that the question the lady's asking?
I'm curious about the rule that limits debate. We didn't have any debate on third reading.
Report. Of course, I was sitting in my seat. I wasn't presiding, but I can tell you that the Speaker Pro Tem actually followed the rules appropriately the way it was handled. The previous question is covered in Rule 19 of our rules. It can be called by certain members of the House. When the previous question is called, it then brings to a vote the question of whether the body wishes to take a vote to end debate and move to an immediate vote of the bill. The previous question was adopted by a majority of the House. At that point, we moved to the main question at hand, which was the adoption of a conference report. If a bill is on a second or a third reading, then there is a 3 minute period that is allowed for the majority leader and the minority leader to speak to those 3 minutes. On a conference report, that is not required under the rules. Did that answer the question? For our purpose, the gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, rise.
Mr. Speaker, I raise for a question of privilege.
The gentleman is recognized to speak to a question of privilege.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Under House Rule 8, I have 3 minutes to speak to a question of privilege regarding those affecting the rights of the House collectively in its safety and dignity and integrity of proceedings, the rights, reputation, and conduct of members. And so the rights, reputations, and conduct of our members were questioned by one of the gentlemen. It was in violations of Mason's, Rule 121, I guess, about impugning motives. But I just want to state affirmatively for my side that we didn't vote the way we voted today because of a D beside our name. That implies that we are not free thinkers. I think if you'll look at my voting statistics, I vote with the minority probably the most. I vote with the majority probably one of the fewest amounts of anybody in this House, and I did the same thing when Democrats were in the majority. I like to think I think for myself. There have been all kinds of ugly rumors published in newspapers about people being taken to the governor's mansion and threatened and things like that. I have spoken to every single member of my caucus who voted for the House budget, and they have all told me, to me personally, it never happened. And to state otherwise on the floor and think that we, just because we disagree, that we can't think for ourselves is very insulting. I vote the way I vote because I think it's right. I vote the way I vote because I have a teacher. My daughter's a teacher. Picture's right here. My son's an education major at Carolina. He's in his senior year. And my youngest son applied to 7 of our university schools, listing his number one choice of major as music education. Okay? I love teachers. I believe in teachers. We can do better. I'm offering to you and anybody else, when Representative Elmore, when you go back and you talk to those teachers and they complain about it being frozen, make sure you tell them that we are willing to talk about just this issue. No Medicaid expansion, nothing else. We're willing to talk to you about just teacher pay and education pay, but nobody will take us up on it. And so we get bills that have a counteroffer. But we're ready to do better, and I hope you'll let all your friends and colleagues at the school, who I do appreciate what they're doing, know that. Thank you.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Bellrise.
Speak to a question of privilege.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Representative Jackson, for those remarks, and I would like to stand up and say ditto, because what goes on your side of the aisle also needs to go on our side of the aisle. But just recently today, this side of the aisle has been called kidnappers. At the same time, a 3-year-old girl in Amber Alert was all across state was missing. Your governor, our governor, chose to call us kidnappers. Members on your side of the aisle called us idiots earlier in tweets. So if you expect decorum on this side, we expect it on this side. This is an equal chamber. We only treat each other very equal. The other point I want to speak to is that I get to use the rules just like you use the rules. So please don't run over here and complain that I use the rules in this book right here the same way you use the rules in this book right here. I'm ready to go home. We're all ready to go home. We need to go home. But there's unfinished business that we need to address. And so before we sit here and lecture each other, attack each other back and forth, let's all remember that we all represent around 80,000 people each, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, and we have business to do. Let's do that in the proper manner. Let's use this facility, this beautiful facility we have that we're all honored to serve in, to be one of 120 people, of 10 million people to get a walking door and make decisions. Let's do the right thing that we feel is best for us. And let's stop the bickering back and forth, the name calling back and forth, the insults back and forth, the political jargon. Let's do our work. Let's go home. Let's take a break. Come back. It looks like we're going to draw maps again. I feel like we're probably going to be sued till it's blue. And then let's go home for the year. Thank you.
For what purpose, the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I thought some of the things that Representative Bell...
Are you wanting to speak to a question of privilege,
yes,
too? Okay.
Yes.
And what I'll say is, this will be good. I can sense people are getting a little worked up, so I'm going to take a lunch break in a minute. Might be good for everybody, but I'd say the lady's going to be recognized to speak to a point of to privilege, but we just ask we don't try to rehash old debates and...
Thank you. I'm not, but I think some of the things that were just said were inappropriate. And I would like for you as the Speaker of the House to get us back in order so that we would stop saying inappropriate things to each other or about other people, because I don't think this is the proper space for it. Thank you.
What I'll say is this. I do think over the last couple of weeks that the acrimony could be cut with a knife at times. I think there were folks who said stuff. I think probably folks said stuff about me, but I'm pretty thick-skinned on this floor that should not have been said. But what I will say is this. All of us are here because, and I believe this about all 120 members of this House, regardless of where you're from, what party you're in, what you look like, I don't care. Every one of us are here because we care about the folks in our community and we care about this state. And there are going to be times that we have different ideas. There are going to be times that we feel very passionately about something. And the way that I view colleagues is almost like I'm an attorney is in court. When I'm in there on that in that courtroom, my job is to represent my client. Well, my job here is to represent my constituents and my side of the aisle and whatnot. But I think we don't ever want to view each other as enemies, ever. That's not right. Sometimes we're opponents, but it needs to be viewed that way. And at the end of the day, we're all North Carolinians. And I've seen this House, I've seen us when we get upset at each other, but I've seen when something happens. I've seen when a member of this House falls ill or they have a family member who's ill, and people help them and they do what they can to help. I know when members leave this House and go elsewhere and they come back to their colleague and say, can you help with this or help with that? Folks try to do it because they value the friendships. And I think it should be said that we're going to have disagreements on issues. We're going to do that. That's fine. That's part of the process. But if we'd all just treat each other the way we want to be treated, we probably wouldn't have a lot of the problems we have. And that's all I'll say to it. I think it's a good time for lunch. But I do want to also say that I appreciate every one of you for the time you take. And the folks sitting in the gallery and the folks listening online have no idea the amount of time. I do want to say this. The amount of time that every one of you are taking to be here today. A lot of you have kids that you want to try to get trick-or-treat. And you're looking at the clock right now wanting to know if you can get home and take them trick-or-treat. Or some of you have grandkids. I don't know. Maybe some of you are going to go trick-or-treating yourself. I don't know. But the sacrifice every one of you make, I will tell you, is appreciated by me as your speaker. And I hope that every one of you appreciate what each other does. So with that, I just want to say that and maybe we can sort of turn a page. Let Representative Howard make an announcement. Then we're going to recess. She's going to notice finance, but I see a couple of the lights. I will take those before I hit the gavel. For what purpose, delay from Dave, Representative Howard Rice.
To make an announcement, Mr. Speaker, the House Finance Committee will meet during the lunch break. Hopefully we will be short, but we're in room 544 immediately once we break. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson Rice.
Inquiry to Chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to respectfully request that House Democrats be given a chance to caucus after finance so that our members can hear about what bill is taken up. I know it's not going to be a DOT bill, I'm sure of it. And so we'd like the chance to caucus after finance, and just when the Speaker's setting the time to come back, I just wanted to put that report.
Absolutely. And to make sure everybody knows, there's a conference report. Let's go ahead and dispose of this. Representative McAlrap is recognized, sent forth the conference report. The clerk will read.
Senate Bill 433, to the President of the Senate, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The conference is appointed to resolve the difference between the Senate and the House of Representatives on Senate Bill 433, a bill to be entitled an act to make various changes to the statutes governing the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources and to remove certain land from state nature and historic preserve to recommend by the department and make additions to certain reports of North Carolina Policy Collaboratory to the General Assembly to certify certain appropriations in the 2018 Hurricane Florence Disaster Recovery Act, to correct effective date, and to repeal to replace the act providing emergency operating funds for utilities. House Committee Substitute, favorable 62619. House Committee Substitute number 2, favorable 10119. Fifth edition in gross 10219. Submit the following report. The conferees recommend that Senate and House of Representatives adopt this report. Date conferees approve report, October 31st, 2019. Conferees of the Senate, Senator Bergen, Chair, Senators Wells, Sanderson, and Brown. Conferees of the House of Representatives, Representative McElrath, Chair, Representatives Hall and McGrady.
Counter percent rule 44D, and without objection, today's calendar. So ordered. One other matter to dispose of, and Representative McAlpin, we'll deal with that when we come back after lunch. One other matter we need, this will be a non-concurrence. The chair is in possession of House Bill 200. Message from the Senate. The clerk will read.
House Bill 200, Senate Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled An Act to Provide State Match for Disaster Relief from Hurricane Dorian and Other Named Storms, of Contingent Funding of Rural Health and Stabilization Fund for Concurrent and Senate Committee Substitute and Unengrossed Senate Amendment Number 1.
Calendar without objection. Day's calendar. So ordered. Chair's informed this is a motion not to concur so that conferees can work out some differences. Is that the purpose, for what purpose, General, from Henderson, Representative McGrady Rise?
For a motion not to concur with respect to the bill that was just read in.
Gentleman may state his gentleman is recognized for a motion not to concur.
That is the motion. And to, if I can speak to the motion quickly.
Just need to let the bill be read now as before the body. House Bill 200. Clerk will read.
Representatives Hurley, Johnson, Horn, and Elmore, House Bill 200, a bill to be entitled An Act to Provide the State Match for Disaster Relief for Hurricane Dorian and Other Named Storms, Contingent Funding of the Rural Health Care Stabilization Fund.
Clerk's also directed to read the amendment.
Senator Jackson moves to amend the bill. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
And the gentleman from Henderson, Representative McGrady, has moved that the House do not concur with the amendment or the bill. Is that correct?
That's correct.
The gentleman is recognized to debate the motion.
Briefly, we passed the disaster relief bill last night unanimously or nearly unanimously. This bill, the Senate has stripped out only the federal matches. Representative Bell and I agree that we should not concur, and let's go talk about this. I've also had a communication with the administration, and I think they're as baffled as we are. So I would urge us to not concur and have conferees appointed.
Representative Floyd, is this to debate this matter, or is this something else? Further discussion, further debate on the motion? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of the motion not to concur with Senate Amendment 1 and the Senate Committee Substitute to House Bill 200. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Carney, did you mean to... Representative Elmore, Representative Yarber, Representative Batch, the members wish to record on the bill. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 106 having voted in the affirmative, none the negative. The House does vote not to concur with Senate Amendment 1 and the Senate Committee Substitute to House Bill 200, and the Senate will be so notified. For what purpose? Gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Floyd, rise.
Inquire the chair, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman's recognized.
Mr. Speaker, I think we have 4 more bills remaining and 2 more has been added.
That's correct. And the chair intends to add the bill that will be coming out of finance to the floor today as well.
That will be 7.
Yes, sir.
May I have a moment of special appreciation, Mr. Speaker?
Of course.
Mr. Speaker, I can't speak for my colleagues, but I really, really would like to get out of here before 7 o'clock tonight so I can go trick-or-treating.
Well, don't forget, we're not in possession of an adjournment resolution either, so... we can't really go too far for too long at this point anyway, so at some point we'll... it is the intention of the chair that we do take up an adjournment resolution later today. We are still negotiating those details with the Senate. The chair does not intend to fully embrace the proposed version from the Senate at this time, so there may have to be some changes to that, but it'll all get worked out like it always does. Any other notices, announcements before we take a lunch recess? If not, subject to standard stipulations, the chair is going to put the House in recess until 2:15. And if I will say also, if the chair receives notice from either the majority leader or the minority leader that the respective caucuses need more time, we will adjust the start time. We can push that back, so that won't be a problem. But otherwise, we stand in recess, subject to standard stipulations, till 2:15.
On motion of the Speaker, House Bill 200, 2019 Storm Recovery Act, the Speaker appoints the following conferees: Representative McGrady, Chair, Representative Bell, Lambeth, Richardson, and Dixon. The Senate will be notified by special message. Special messages from the Senate. Senate Chamber, October 31st, 2019. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for House Bill 470, Conference Committee Substitute Bill to be entitled an act to make various changes and technical corrections to the laws governing the administration of justice. When the appropriate action is taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and enrolled. House Bill 470, having passed both chambers, will be ordered and enrolled and sent to the governor. Senate Chamber, October 31st, 2019, Mr. Speaker, has ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for Senate Bill 189, Conference Committee Substitute Bills entitled an act to protect children from sexual abuse, to strengthen and modernize sexual assault laws. When the appropriate action is taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and enrolled. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate, that message is noted. Senate Chamber, October 31st, 2019, Mr. Speaker, it is ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for Senate Bill 354, Conference Committee Substitute Bills entitled an act consistent with House Bill 966 of the 2019 regular session to appropriate funds for legislatively mandated compensation increases for certain public schools personnel and contingent upon the passage of House Bill 966 of the 2019 regular session to appropriate funds for legislatively mandated compensation increases for certain educational employees and increased funding for tuition grants for graduates of the North Carolina School of Science and Mathematics. When appropriate action is taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and enrolled and respectfully signed. Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate, the message is noted. Senate Chamber, October 31st, 2019. Mr. Speaker, has ordered that a message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for House Bill 181, Conference Committee Substitute Bills being entitled an act to repeal the annexation of certain described territory into the town of Yanceyville prior to the effective date of that annexation, to remove certain described property from the corporate limits of the city of Greensboro, and to revise the McDowell County Board of Education districts. When the appropriate action is taken by both chambers, the bill will be ordered and enrolled. Respectfully, signed, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. House Bill 181, having passed both chambers, the bill will be ordered and enrolled and sent to the governor. Previous order to the governor on House Bill 181 will be stricken. The House will come to order and the House will remain in recess subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1 until 2:45.
The House will come back to order. Special message from the Senate. The clerk will read.
Senate Joint Resolution 684, First Edition, a joint resolution providing for the confirmation of the appointment of Jeffrey A. Hughes to the Utilities Commission.
Calendar.
Senate Joint Resolution 685, First Edition, a joint resolution providing for the confirmation of the appointment of Kimberly W. Dumfrey to the Utilities Commission.
Calendar. These are confirmations of two appointments of the governor. The chair intends to add those to the calendar, although I think they will probably need a caucus on it. But any objection to adding today's calendar? Hearing none, so ordered. Thank you. the chair is looking to move some bills, but is seeing bill sponsors off the floor right now. So Senate Bill 199, looks like we can take that one up. Senate Bill 199, the clerk will read.
Senators Britt, Harrington, and Chaudhary, Senate Bill 199, a bill to be entitled Child Sex Abuse Strengthening Laws, General Assembly, North Carolina, next.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Riddell, rise?
For a motion.
The gentleman is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House adopt the conference report for Senate Bill 199.
The gentleman has moved adoption of the conference report to Senate Bill 199. The gentleman has the floor to debate the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Friends, Senate Bill 199 was last before us on July 31st, where it passed by a vote of 92 to 15. What I'm going to share with you are the changes that have been made by the conference committee. Part 1, line 23, there was a clause other than the juvenile's parent that was added in a House floor amendment by Representative Morey on July 31st, that passed by a vote of 52 to 49. That phrase has been removed. In Part 2, there were no changes. In Part 3, there were no changes. Part 4 dealt with the child sexual abuse and statute of limitations. The statute of limitations age was reduced from 38 to 28 years old. And also, a provision was put in to allow a civil suit to be filed by a victim within 2 years of a criminal conviction for a related felony sexual offense that was experienced by the victim before the age of 18. Part 5 is the right to revoke consent. This was a Senate bill sponsored by Senator Britt and Senator Jeff Jackson, and it provides definitions in statute to protect individuals from being coerced against their will to engage in some kind of sexual or intimate act. Part 6 was previously House Bill 393, modernizing sexual assault laws, and the primary sponsors of that were Representative Beasley, Adams, Adcock, and Bowles, and that bill, you may remember, passed unanimously in the House on April 29th. Part 7 was added by the Senate and is a victim's rights component. Part 8 was requested by the North Carolina School Boards Association and simply extends the current prohibition of sex offender residency into an area to where a school is to be constructed and closes that loophole. Those are the summary of the changes. I would like to say just as kind of a summary of what we've done with this bill, that this brings North Carolina law into really the 21st century in the areas of child abuse, sexual assault, and particularly the ugly crime of child sexual abuse. I have received dozens upon dozens upon dozens of emails, letters, text messages, phone calls from victims who have been following the progress of our bill dealing with particularly child sexual abuse. And to those victims, I want to say this bill is for you. If you are a victim of child abuse, this bill is for you. If you're an adult victim of sexual assault, this bill is for you. If you're a victim of child sexual abuse and you had your childhood innocence ripped out of your soul by an adult predator, this bill is for you. I encourage you to vote green.
For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To debate the bill.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, there's a lot to really like about the bill. I particularly like Representative Riddell's and Turner's provisions relating to the statute of limitations on child abuse. I'm very happy to see that Representative Beasley's efforts on consent is in here, but I'm still troubled by the language relating to high-risk sex offenders, and I spoke to a lawyer who works on these cases. During the debate on this bill, whenever it was, a month or two ago, I raised that there were some potential constitutional issues. There's a Supreme Court's Packingham decision about access to social media, and I appreciate that some improvements have been made, but in consulting with the lawyer who's worked in this area, he's concerned that it's still vague and subject to a constitutional challenge. Both the access to the social media and the definition of a high-risk sex offender. We all want to make sure that actual sexual predators or stay away from children and aren't allowed to participate in that sort of activity. But unfortunately, it seems the way the language is drafted is a little bit broad and potentially subject to legal challenge. I really like the rest of the bill, though, so I'm conflicted about my vote, but I just wanted to raise those issues. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to debate the bill.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you. I also think, how can anyone be against a bill that's protecting children from sexual abuse and strengthening our laws? There are a lot of good sections in this bill, and I really applaud Representative Riddell, Representative Turner for their work on this. I continue to have a strong concern about Part 1. And Part 1, we talked about when I presented an amendment, and what this would do, it requires any person who knows or has reasonable suspicion a child has been abused must report to law enforcement. Anyone. We're talking parents. We're talking grandparents. And if you fail to, you can be subject to a Class 1 misdemeanor. You can be criminally prosecuted. If you decided your 6-year-old, who you learned had been possibly abused by an older cousin, a family member, that if you don't report that because you feel the best course of treatment is to go to a psychologist, go to a counselor, make sure there's no further contact, but not put that young child through a court proceeding as a witness, I think that's your responsibility and your choice as a parent. We have mandatory reporting laws to Department of Social Services on abuse, neglect, dependency. Those stay in effect. DSS is the proper agency to take in these complaints, to investigate, to turn it over to law enforcement if a crime has been committed. What I object to is there is a criminal penalty for a parent if they don't report to law enforcement. That's my concern about this bill. The other parts I think are good and favorable, but without this amendment language still being included in the bill, I will have to vote against it. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Orange, Representative Insko, rise?
To debate the bill.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Yeah. Speaker. Members, I agree that there's a lot in this bill that's very good. We certainly need to move forward and do everything we can to prevent child sex abuse, to prevent sex abuse at any level. I visited the Orange County Rape Crisis Center recently and asked if they had any female offenders and male clients that they were treating, and they said yes. So this is not just a male on female issue, that young boys are also sexually offended. My problem with the bill is I think it doesn't go far enough to ameliorate unintended consequences, and that is that if you have schools intervening where they think a child has been sexually abused, which I think they certainly should, that it's very possible that you would break up an entire economic unit if the only person in that family that has a good job is the male and he's the offender. You might leave a mom and two or three other kids without any income. We need to think about those unintended consequences and address those too. So I like a lot about the bill, but there's still a lot of work that needs to be done.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Buncombe, Representative Turner, rise?
To debate the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Working with Representative Riddell on this process, on this bill, has been a tremendous experience. It has been an educational one for me. And he made reference earlier to the survivors that we have met with, that we have spoken with, that we've heard the stories from. And I don't think that you can be a part of that process and have it really affect you and impact the way that you look at these types of issues. This bill, I would say the process that we followed here has really sort of
reinstated my faith in our legislative efforts. We've worked through committee. We've worked in a bipartisan and bicameral fashion to bring this here before us, and I think we've done so in a way that we can all feel very comfortable supporting this legislation. This passed out of the Senate earlier today, 48-0. We've done our homework with this, and while there may be certain provisions that folks don't particularly care for, overall, this bill is going to help protect children. It's going to help those who have been victims and survivors move forward with their lives. And in the end of the day, it's going to make North Carolina a better state. I urge your support of this, and I thank you for it in advance.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Beasley, rise?
Debate the motion.
The gentleman is recognized to debate.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you, members. As Representative Turner said, I do want to say that this process has been what I believe should be a model for how we work in this chamber and in this General Assembly. I also want to say to Representative Rydell, who's done such tremendous work on this, that I'm very proud to have been able to work with you on this, and I think that he deserves a debt of gratitude for his hard work in building consensus and building a lot of relationships that have hopefully are going to allow us to pass some legislation in the future. I think there's one thing that we have to stay very, very focused on when it comes to bills like this. Many of the provisions in this bill have behind them people who, number one, had to have the courage to share their stories, and when they did, had to have the faith in us that we were going to do something about it. There's not too many times where up here we can find a really direct causal relationship between the things that we do and the things that we were able to accomplish, and this is one of those times. Now, I know it's been said many times in this chamber before, there's no such thing as a perfect bill. But what I do think this bill represents is a tremendous step forward for our state and for people who want to know that on the worst day of their life, that in through some of the hardest circumstances of their life, that at least they will have a clear path to justice once they've dealt with these difficulties. I think we owe it to them. My hope is that this will not be the only bill that we pass in this chamber and in this General Assembly to modernize our sexual assault laws. My hope is that next year we will find ways, by talking to survivors and talking to experts and talking to stakeholders, to figure out how we can make this even better. I fully anticipate that this will be a start. But I'm so very encouraged that with this start, we have created a start that has as its fundamental premise a situation where everyone can be at the table and everyone can be heard. So I understand that people may have some concerns about this provision, but don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the great. Please pass this bill and send a message to survivors and send a message to families that we are in their corner and we're willing to do whatever it takes to make their lives better. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Riddell, rise?
Speak on the bill a second time.
Gentleman has the floor.
Folks, I just really briefly want to answer some of the objections that have been raised. This has been a very bipartisan effort, and the section that Representative Harrison spoke to was a response to the Packingham decision, but it has been worked on very diligently by our Attorney General's office and staff. Not just one attorney, but multiple attorneys looking at this, trying to find the language that would still allow us to offer some protection to children from the high-risk online predators. So it was a very worthy effort. It's been very carefully crafted, and I think it will pass judicial muster. To my friend, Representative Morey, we disagreed about that amendment. Most of the victims of child sexual abuse, they know the perpetrator. 90% of the victims know the perpetrator, and oftentimes it's a family member. So to leave the caveat in there about allowing the parent to decide what to do with the commission of a felony on their child, I think is going too far. I am all for parents' rights, but I'm not for allowing the parent to avoid revealing a felony against their child. I think that needs to be dealt with properly, and that's what the bill does. And lastly, I think what Representative Turner said is kind of the capstone to this whole discussion. This bill passed earlier this morning in the Senate with a unanimous vote. I hope we can get the same vote here in the House. Thank you.
What purpose does the lady from Forsyth, Representative Terry, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am intrigued by the debate, and I think it's a wonderful bill. It's one of the things that I feel very, very positive about.
Is the lady wanting to debate the bill?
I'd like to find out. I want to determine what or who can tell me about criminal codes and whether they are in line with this kind of thing. Do we need to reform or do we need to study what the criminal codes are?
If you want to address that as a question to...
I'm questioning someone to just let me know.
Well, do we have a volunteer to answer the representative's question? You know, we got a lot of lawyers in here, but they may try to bill you by the hour for it, so I don't know. But
No.
Looks like Representative Riddell has turned on his light. Does the gentleman yield?
With trepidation. Could you rephrase the question, please?
Is there a need for reforming North Carolina's criminal codes so that it isn't necessary to continue to have the kind of curiosity about the questions that I've heard raised regarding this bill? Do I make sense?
Yes, ma'am. I may not in reply, but I'll try. You've got to remember, when we're dealing with child sexual abuse, you are dealing with a felony against a child. And it is the most traumatic, on the scale of adverse child experiences, child sexual abuse is the most traumatic. It's the worst thing that can happen to a child.
Absolutely.
You carry shame, you carry guilt for a crime you did not commit. And it's a life sentence for most people who are victims. So dealing with the criminal code, what we're trying to do with this piece of legislation, and it covers quite a few areas, is to either tighten up or bring our criminal code into the 21st century. That's what we're trying to do. Modernize in response to the understanding that most victims of child sexual abuse, friends, they do not disclose until they're age 52. 52. And by that time, the statute of limitations in most states has passed them by long ago. So what we're trying to do is extend the statute of limitations, give opportunities for victims to come forward, because that helps us unmask predators who are out there right now victimizing children and grooming their next victim. So that's what we're trying to do, just bring us an update to this particular area of our criminal code.
Thank you very kindly. Those were the points I needed to hear touched upon because I think it's very necessary in today's world to do this. Thank you.
For what purpose the lady from Durham, Representative Morey, rise?
To ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Riddell, gentlemen yield.
I yield.
He yields.
Representative Riddell, you keep referring to it is only felony offenses, but isn't it also misdemeanor child abuse that
yes.
is required to be reported?
Yes. Okay. And in response to that also, I would let the body know that these are some of the groups that came out in favor of the original language, which we have reverted to now in this conference report. The North Carolina Department of Social Services favored the language as it was before the amendment. North Carolina Coalition Against Sexual Assault, Safe Child NC, Child USA, Prevent Child Abuse NC, Children's Advocacy Centers of North Carolina, there's a variety of groups that we listen to who implored us to not create that kind of opportunity for the crime, whether a felony or a misdemeanor, to be ignored.
Speak a second time.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, Representative Riddell. This is Halloween, and it may be a trick or treat, but I have listened to all the discussion on it. It is a very tough vote because I am very opposed to this mandatory reporting by parents or grandparents. Representative Autry asked me a question, and I think he made a great point. And, you know, this does not require district attorneys to charge parents. I mean, it would be their discretion. And I think it would probably be a rare occurrence where a DA would charge a parent, so I appreciate him bringing that up. I think that also weighs into this. So believe it or not, I will change my mind. I will support this bill, and thank you for all your work on it.
For what purpose, gentleman Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise.
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, when I was in high school, there was a teacher who tried to lure me into a situation where I would have been abused, and I thankfully was smart enough to avoid that. Years later, just a few years ago, I found out that a dear friend of mine had been abused by that teacher. And this guy, he was a big, strong guy. He was fullback on the football team. He played in college. He played in the NFL. But he was abused by this teacher in high school. He was 14 years older than I. So in between the time that he'd done this to him and the time he tried to do it to me, how many others, I wonder? Well, as a kid back then, I had no idea about, you know, telling about something like that. And this kind of thing needs to be dealt with. Neither one of us, to my knowledge, ever told anybody. As far as the thing about the parents, I understand having problems with that. But if I'd have told my mama, and my daddy was dead, if I'd told my mama, she'd have had that guy's guts for garters, you know? There may be some things in this bill that could be approved. There's already been some things changed and improved, I think. And this is a great step forward. If you want to do some more improvement later on, maybe we can do that. But this is a great step forward that I think we need to take. And I'd urge everybody, in spite of having some qualms about it needs improvement, vote for this and let's move forward with this. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House is the adoption of the conference report, Senate Bill 199. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 108 having voted in the affirmative, none of the negative. The conference report to Senate Bill 199 is adopted. Senate will be so notified. Senate Bill 537, the clerk will read. Actually, I believe it's already been read, so it was displaced. It's now back before us. Representative Dobson had explained the bill earlier. The gentleman, the chair will recognize the gentleman for further explanation if the gentleman desires.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I know there's a lot going on today, a lot of moving parts, but this bill helps social workers, it helps licensed professional counselors, our mental health counselors, a lot of things that the department needs to be able to move forward. I just urge your support.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question before the House, adoption of the conference report, Senate Bill 537. Those in favor will vote aye, those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Logan, Representative Beasley, Representative Beasley on the floor. Clerk will lock machine, record the vote. 105 having voted in the affirmative, 2 in the negative. The House does adopt the conference report to Senate Bill 537. The Senate will be so notified. Senate Bill 557, the clerk will read.
Senators Crawley, Rabin, and Lowe, Senate Bill 557, a bill to be entitled Various Finance Laws Changes, General Assembly of North Carolina Annex.
Chairman from Cumberland, Representative Soka, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Now, we had a pretty thorough discussion on this report last night. I'd just like to emphasize one thing. Maybe I didn't emphasize enough when I read what the bill does, and that's on the marketplace facilitator portion of this. What that really does is level the playing fields for all the brick and mortar local businesses in each and every one of our communities, as opposed to what a lot of online sales have been doing. So it makes sales collected for things that are sold in North Carolina, the online marketplace facilitators have to collect that sales tax and remit it to the state. So one of the major concerns, obviously, of brick and mortar here in the state has been that online organizations had an unfair advantage. This fixes that. So I don't think there's any other discussion, so I just ask for a green vote. Thanks.
For what purpose, gentleman from Wake, Representative Jackson, rise.
See if Representative Zoka would yield for some questions.
Gentleman from Cumberland, yield to the gentleman from Wake.
Begrudgingly.
He yields.
Thank you, Representative Zoka. I'm sorry, I probably should
have a flow chart to pick up with this, but we have been talking about an awful lot of tax cut bills lately, and a lot of we just earlier have passed some potential educator pay raises, and I'm wondering, do we know if all of these things become law what our current availability is?
I do not have that number with me. The fiscal net on this will tell you how much this raises. When we checked on that, the finance chairs did check with the finance staff. I don't recall that number exactly, but that it is not increasing taxes, it's lowering, and that we were okay with the appropriate folks on that. So I wish I could give you the exact number. I just don't remember it.
Thank you.
Representative Adcock, the chair is in possession of the ladies' amendment, and the chair has reviewed the amendment and would say the amendment is not germane to the bill. I would simply point out that it is, this does add a new tax that is not in the that is not in the bill. Of course, it has to amend the title, and so it does go beyond the scope of the bill.
Mr. Speaker, may I please object to the ruling of the chair?
So the lady is seeking to appeal the decision of the chair, and the lady is recognized to speak to her appeal.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really appreciate that. And as I look at this bill, and actually I had pressed my button to debate the bill and to talk about the merits of the bill and then to send forth an amendment, because I do think this bill has a lot going for it and has some very great positives. As you look at this tax bill and you look at the crisis that we're in right now that we know is worsening every day, I think that we should take every effort we can right now, knowing that it is not the complete package of what we can do to help our children stay healthy and alive, that this is not a bad vehicle, may not be the perfect vehicle, but is not a bad vehicle for this amendment that seeks to raise the tax on vaping products to at least bring them closer to parity with other tobacco products. And it would be my great hope that we could debate and vote on this amendment. Thank you.
What the chair would simply say is that just pursuant to our rules, that it just is not germane to the bill. The lady's proposal, of course, would be in order for a separate bill at a later day, but as a part of this bill, it simply isn't there. So the chair is not ruling on the merits of the lady's amendment, simply on the fact that it just is not applicable to the bill. Does the lady still wish to actually have a vote on an appeal?
Yes, sir.
Okay. For what purpose, gentlemen from Wake, President Jackson rise.
Speak on the lady's appeal.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to vote for the appeal. This was an amendment that actually was heard on this bill. As you might have known, this bill was heard in finance, and this amendment, or something very similar to this amendment, was put in House Finance. So not only is this amendment germane to this bill, it was actually formally a part of this bill. This bill is called, the short title is Various Finance Law Changes. And I think this is a finance law change, so it fits with the short title of the bill. I have grown increasingly concerned about deciding if something is germane based on whether it changes the title. And the reason for that is, I'll be the first to admit, apparently the Democrats were very bad about that. When we were the majority party, I can remember some bills that had three-page titles. And because there was a rule that you could not change the title on the floor. That was a House rule. Now, every bill went to at least two committees, but you couldn't change it on the House floor. That was one of the first things you changed when you took over, was to get rid of that rule. And whether or not, and we don't have that rule anymore, yet we often hear we can't do something because it would change the title. And so I hope we're not going back to that. I think that was something you should be congratulated for, a good thing you did for transparency to let every member, because not every member was on a committee that could amend a bill in the past, and they still aren't. You know, if you're not, I'm on rules, so basically every bill comes through there, so I have the chance to amend basically every bill who comes through here. Not everybody does. So sometimes on the House floor, it is the first chance you have to amend. And when you adopt an approach that says you can never change the title, then you cut out a lot of people's right to be heard on that bill. So I hope you will vote for the lady's appeal. Again, this particular provision was actually in this bill as of yesterday. So I think it's germane. It was in the bill. It fits the short title, and I'd ask you to vote for the lady's appeal. This is a very important issue. It's something that we should not wait. I'm a parent of a teenage boy whose mother found one of these vaping products in his overnight bag several months ago. And then, you know, I thought about it. We had a talk, discussed it. And then I've been following the news and seeing people die. This is something we should talk about. It's something we should take the time to talk about. I can remember the debate on cigarettes. And the debate on the floor was that we were going to give preferential tax treatment to vaping products. And we weren't going to treat them as cigarettes because they were a little more expensive to produce. But they were safer than cigarettes. Therefore, they were healthier than cigarettes. And we would move people away from cigarettes to something that was more controllable and healthier. And now we're seeing all these problems. And so what we're talking about doing is raising the tax, make it equal with cigarettes, and hopefully do what we saw when we raised the cigarette tax. You see a decline in youth smoking. And that's really where you have to catch kids. You have to catch them early on, because once they start, it's really hard to get them to stop, as many of you know. So I hope you will vote for the Ladies Amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose the lady from White, Representative Adcock, rise?
To debate the motion once again.
An appeal is only debatable one time per the rules. Question for the House is, should the member's appeal of the chair's ruling be sustained? All those in favor of the member's appeal and overturning the chair will vote aye. All of those opposed to the appeal will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. The clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 49 having voted in the affirmative and 59 in the negative. The chair's ruling stands and the appeal fails. Further discussion, further debate on the bill on third reading. If not, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Bill 557 on third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Riddell on the floor. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 86 having voted in the affirmative and 20 in the negative. Senate Bill 557 passes its third reading and will be sent to the Senate. For what purpose, the gentleman from Chatham, Representative Reeves, rise.
Be recorded as aye on 557.
I'm sorry, the bill we just did?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman be recorded as having voted aye on the bill. For what purpose, the gentleman from Guilford, Representative Quick, rise?
Same reason.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted aye on the bill. For what purpose does the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Beasley, rise?
Same, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted aye on the bill. For what purpose the lady from Wake, Representative Dahl, rise?
To be recorded as aye on 537. Which was not this one.
That was the prior bill, I believe.
Yes.
So the lady will be recorded as having voted aye on. Is that House Bill or Senate Bill? On Senate Bill 537. Yeah. For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Adcock, rise?
To be recorded as an aye vote on Senate Bill 537.
37 or 57?
537.
Lady will be recorded as having voted aye on Senate Bill 537. For what purpose does the gentleman from Wayne, Representative Smith, rise?
Aye on 557.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted aye on Senate Bill 557. For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Holly, rise?
Being reported as an aye on 537.
The lady will be recorded as having voted aye on Senate Bill 537. For what purpose does the gentleman from Vance, Representative Garrison, rise?
The court is out on 557.
The gentleman will be recorded as having voted aye on Senate Bill 557. For what purpose does the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Majeed, rise?
To be reported as a yay on 557.
I've never seen so many conversions on a vote at one time. The gentleman be recorded as having voted aye on Senate Bill 557. For what purpose does the gentleman from Iredell, Representative McNeely, rise?
I just want to keep my votes the same they've been.
Got it. All right. Senate Bill 433, the clerk will read.
Senate Bill 433, a bill to be entitled DNCR Omnibus and Other Changes, General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
The lady from Carteret, Representative McElrath, is recognized for a motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, I move for the adoption of the conference report on Senate Bill 433. This bill passed our chamber 106-0. It was one that we stripped out from the Senate to put some technical changes in, and we voted 106-0. In conference, the Senate wanted to add four other things. We agreed to three of them. One is a date change for the PFAS report. We cleared that with our friends on this side of the aisle, and that'll be October the 15th, 2020. And the second one was to clarify that local health departments are not liable when wastewater systems are designed by private engineers. And that was something I think DHHS wanted. And then in Section 12, we increased the threshold for state leases from $25,000 to $40,000 before it needs approval from the Department of Administration. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
For what purpose does the lady from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To speak to the conference report.
The lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I just wanted to give Representative McElrath and the Speaker's team a lot of credit for some good work on this bill. It's got some very important pieces to it. And while it hasn't changed, it's just super important to emphasize that we're getting a start on attacking our PFAS problem with the inventory of the firefighting foam. So I urge you to support the bill. Thank you. The report. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate. If not, the question before the House, passage of Senate Bill 433, adoption of the conference report to Senate Bill 433. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Bowles, aye. Is Representative Jones on the floor? Yeah. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 106 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. The conference report for Senate Bill 433 is adopted by the requisite 3/5 vote, and the Senate will be so notified. Members, where we are on our calendar, you can see we've disposed of most of our business. There are two confirmation bills there. These are two appointments to the Utilities Commission, and the chair believes a recess is in order so that we can caucus to discuss that and then report back if we're going to take action on those today. We also will need to address an adjournment resolution, which we are not in possession of at this time, nor have we formulated one. So that's where we are at the moment. And I understand that the Finance Committee is wanting to have a meeting, so it's going to be an appropriate time to take what will hopefully be our final recess of the day. So I'm going to let Representative Howard make an announcement.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Finance will meet in room 1228 immediately upon the recess.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Orange, Representative Meyer, rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was present in the chamber. I'd like to be recorded as voting no on Senate Bill 557.
The gentleman reports having voted no on Senate Bill 557. For what purpose, the gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise.
Inquiry of the chair. The
gentleman's recognized.
Mr. Speaker, do you have any knowledge of when the Senate, how long the Senate will be in recess? I heard 10:30 p.m., but I wanted to ask you directly as the leader of the House.
They're in recess until 4 p.m., but given their age and health, it'll probably feel like 10:30 to them. I was just seeing if they were listening to us. Representative Arp, would the gentleman approach the dais, please? Representative Arp.
Thank you.
The House will come back to order. Mr. Clerk, Chair directs that Senate Joint Resolution 677, which is a resolution confirming the appointment of Corey Beers to the North Carolina Mining Commission, the bill be withdrawn from the Committee on Rules Counter Operations, Calendar 36B, without objection to today's calendar. So ordered. Mr. Clerk, Chair directs that Senate Joint Resolution 678, joint resolution relating to confirming the appointment of Robert J. Connor to the North Carolina Mining Commission be removed from the Committee on Rules, Counter and Operations of the House, Calendar 36B, and then without objection, today's calendar. So ordered. Ratification bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
The Royal Clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the governor. House Bill 111, an act to enact a base budget for certain state agencies, departments, and institutions for the 2019-2021 fiscal biennium. House Bill 470, an act to make various changes and technical corrections to the law governing administrative justice. And the following bills and resolutions duly ratified, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Office of the Secretary of State. House Bill 181, an act to repeal the annexation of certain described territory in the town of Yanceyville prior to the effective date of that annexation, to remove certain described property from the corporate limits of the city of Greensboro, and to revise the McDowell County Board of Education districts. House Joint Resolution 1019, a joint resolution providing for the confirmation of appointment of Floyd B. McKissick, Jr. to the Utilities Commission.
Chapter bills will be noted. Members, the Finance Committee is meeting without objection. Chair is going to, we're not voting on anything right now, but we're taking care of administrative matters. Without objection, rule suspended that they may continue to meet to dispose of their business while we're in session. So ordered.
Members, we're just going to stand at ease as opposed to a formal recess. We're just waiting on finance, but we won't take off with too much till they report back. The House will come back to order. Representatives Howard, Satzer, Soka, Conrad, Ross, Warren recognize and send forth committee report. Clerk Reed.
Representative Howard, Satzer, Soka, Conrad, Ross, and Warren, Finance Committee report. Senate Bill 105, Federal Motor Carrier Safety Prison, favor of House Committee Substitute, unfavor of Senate Committee Substitute.
Senate Committee Substitute is placed on the unfavorable calendar. The House Committee Substitute is referred to the Committee on Rules calendar. Operations of the House. Members, a lot of yellow lights on up here, meaning excused absences. So I think we're going to get folks out of here pretty soon. But we do have four confirmations that the chair intends for us to dispose of, and then we do have an adjournment resolution, and we have conferred with the Senate. The Senate's in agreement. The minority leader's in agreement with it, and so we're going to have to just wait on receiving that adjournment resolution, but we will be getting that whenever the Senate gets it to us. Excuse me. But let's go ahead and try to dispose of some business before us. We have some confirmations. Senate Joint Resolution 684, the clerk will read.
Senator Rabin, Senate Joint Resolution 684, a joint resolution providing for the confirmation of the appointment of Jeffrey A. Hughes to the Utilities Commission. The Senate resolved, the House concurred.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Arp, is recognized to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had the privilege and opportunity to meet both with Mr. Hughes and Ms. Duffy as well. Mr. Hughes is a faculty member at the University of North Carolina School of Government. He's well respected. He has great experience, has an impressive resume. His expertise is in water systems and so forth. He is very well qualified, and I ask for your positive vote to confirm him to the Utilities Commission.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the adoption of Senate Joint Resolution 684 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Brendan Jones, aye. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 91 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. Senate Joint Resolution 684 passes second reading. Will without objection. Be right there, time.
The Senate resolved, House concur.
Representative McGrady, did the gentleman wish to be recorded as aye on that first one? Representative McGrady will be recorded as having voted aye on second reading. Question for the House, passage of Senate Joint Resolution 684 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Joint Resolution 684, having passed its third reading, is ordered and enrolled. Senate Joint Resolution 685, Corporal Reed.
Senator Rabin, Senate Joint Resolution 685, a joint resolution providing for the confirmation of the appointment of Kimberly W. Duffley of the Utilities Commission. The Senate resolved, the House concurred.
Gentleman from Cumberland, Representative Soka, recognized to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ms. Duffley has served as a staff attorney to the Utilities Commission since November 2011, has been a senior staff attorney since May 2018. Prior to her work on the Utilities Commission, she served with the Attorney General's Office for over 10 years in the Environmental Division. She has an undergraduate degree from UNC Chapel Hill in philosophy and political science and a law degree from Mercer School of Law. On a personal note, I've worked with Ms. Duffley on any number of issues and heard her present at conferences. She's highly qualified, well-spoken, and I ask for your green vote.
Question for the House, passage of Senate Joint Resolution 685 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 95, having voted in the affirmative, none, the negative. Senate Joint Resolution 685 passed the second reading. Bill without objection. You're read a third time.
The Senate resolved. The House concurred.
For what purpose? The gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, rise.
This is in reference to the previous resolution to record as an aye.
The gentleman be recorded as having voted aye on the previous resolution. Question for the House. Passage of Senate Joint Resolution 685 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Joint Resolution 685, having passed third reading, ordered and enrolled. Senate Joint Resolution 677, the clerk will read.
Senator Wells, Senate Joint Resolution 677, a joint resolution confirming the appointment of Corey M. Veers, the North Carolina Mining Commission. The Senate resolved, the House concurred.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and ladies and gentlemen of the House, Senate Joint Resolution is the confirmation of an appointment made by His Excellency, the Governor. This is for Corey M. Veers of Forsyth County to the North Carolina Mining Commission. The credentials and statement of economic interest forms have been reviewed, and this person is found to be in good standing, and I would urge your positive vote on this confirmation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question before the House with passage of Senate Joint Resolution 677 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 95, having voted in the affirmative, none, the negative. Senate Joint Resolution 677 passed second reading. Will without objection. Be read a third time.
Senate resolved. The House concurred.
Question for the House. The passage of Senate Joint Resolution 677 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Joint Resolution 677, having passed third reading, ordered and rolled. Senate Joint Resolution 678. Clerk will read.
Senator Wells, Senate Joint Resolution 678, a joint resolution relating confirmation to appointment of Robert J. Connor of the North Carolina Mining Commission. Senate resolved, the House concur.
Gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, recognized to debate the resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker and members, Senate Joint Resolution 678 is a confirmation of the appointment of Robert J. Connor to the North Carolina Mining Commission. This appointment, the credentials and statement of economic interests have been reviewed and found to be in good standing, and I would urge my House colleagues to vote aye and to confirm this individual. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Joint Resolution 678 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Howard, lady, I'd like to vote on the resolution. Question for Clerk will hot machine and record the vote. 95, having voted in the affirmative, none, the negative. Senate Joint Resolution 678 passed the second reading. Will without objection. Be read a third time.
The Senate resolved. House concur.
Question for the House. Passage of Senate Joint Resolution 678 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. Senate Joint Resolution 678, having passed its third reading, ordered and enrolled. Members, we are awaiting the adjournment resolution from the Senate, so I know we have some points of personal privilege and so forth, so this would be a great time to do that. For what purpose, the lady from Johnson, Representative White, rise.
Mr. Speaker, having submitted a representative statement with the clerk, I ask that it be read in its entirety upon adjournment and spread across the journal, and would like to speak to the record, to the statement.
The chair does direct that the representative statement be read upon adjournment, be spread upon the journal after adjournment, and that the lady is now recognized to speak to a point of personal privilege.
Thank you. The Oncology Nursing Society is a professional association committed to promoting excellence in oncology nursing and the transformation of cancer care. Today, the Oncology Nursing Society has more than 35,000 members and over 220 chapters across the nation, including one in North Carolina. The mission of this society is advancing excellence in oncology nursing and quality cancer care is evident in the organization's interest in policy to improve the quality of life of those with cancer. This society deserves to be recognized and commended for its commitment to fight against cancer. And the North Carolina Oncology Nursing Society is actually meeting for their annual meeting in Charlotte this weekend. And so on behalf of Representative Cunningham, Representative Adcock, and myself, we would like to give a shout out for an appreciation for the work that they do to address cancer issues with patients and to fight for those that are suffering from that disease. So thank you so much.
For purposes, the gentleman from Wake, Representative John, seek recognition.
Point of personal privilege.
You have the floor for a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, ma'am. Members, it's rare that we're in session this late in the year, and those of us who have birthdays in October and November rarely get that date acknowledged. I've had the privilege and the pleasure of serving with my seatmate for 3 years, and this is the first time in 3 years that I'll be able to ask you to wish her a happy birthday on Sunday of this year. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
For what purpose does the lady from Wilson, Representative Farmer Butterfield, rise?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Having submitted a representative statement honoring Congressman John Conyers, I request it be read upon adjournment and spread across the journal. My comments from earlier this week will suffice, and I don't need to recognize and speak further to this representative statement. Thank you.
It is so ordered. For what purpose does a gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Lofton, arise?
A point of personal privilege.
You have the floor for a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Tomorrow is All Saints Day, but more personal and important to me, it's my wife's birthday, so I just want to wish her a happy birthday. Thank you.
Special message from the Senate. The clerk will read.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to your message received today that the House of Representatives failed to concur with House Bill 200, Senate Committee Substitute, Third Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to provide state match for disaster relief from Hurricane Dorian and other named storms and contingent funding of Rural Health Care Stabilization Fund, the Senate Amendment Number 1. The President Pro Tem appoints Senator Jackson, Chair, Senators Brown, Harrington, Britt, and Heiss, on the part of the Senate to confer with the like committee appointed by your honorable body to the end that the differences arising may be resolved. Respectfully, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk.
Noted. For purposes, the gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Montgomery, arise.
Point of personal privilege.
You have the floor for a point of personal privilege.
Colleagues, with all due respect to my friends who are in Guilford County and those who attended what some people have sometimes allowed for misinformation to be communicated, I believe that you may have heard from my colleague Representative Smith on last week that the greatest homecoming on earth was taking place in Greensboro, North Carolina, because North Carolina A&T was celebrating a homecoming. But in fact, it's a little bit further down Highway 40 happening in Winston-Salem, North Carolina this weekend as Winston-Salem State University celebrates the greatest homecoming on earth. And so if you just happen to be in the city of Winston-Salem this weekend, come on by Winston-Salem State University as we celebrate our homecoming and as we celebrate all of the greatness that comes from Winston-Salem State University, along with my colleague, Representative Carla Cunningham, who's also alum of the greatest university this side of heaven.
For what purpose, the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise.
Point of personal privilege.
You have the floor for a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, ma'am. I'd like to ask for prayer for my brother, Lane Pittman. Got a report yesterday. He's been on cancer treatment for over a year now. He's lost 54 pounds since last September. He's down to 150 pounds, been on an oral cancer drug. All the scans yesterday when we went to the doctor showed clear, but they're waiting on the blood work and hoping they may have to or may be able to let him do without the drugs for a while to see if his mobility improves. He gets around with a walker, having a hard time doing that these days. Did show a big kidney stone that they're going to have to wait to do anything about till they see how he does. But after over a year of struggling with this, and I just would appreciate your prayers for him. He's 70 years old, so I want to keep him around a good bit longer. Thank you.
For what purposes, gentleman from Durham, Representative Hawkins, rise.
Point of personal privilege, Madam Chair.
You have the floor for a point of personal privilege.
Thank you. Many of you and your children, maybe not us, but children and families in your districts will be celebrating Halloween, going out door to door and trick-or-treating. And so I stand for those who have intellectual and developmental disabilities who may be coming to your doors, and want to remind you and bring light to the fact that there are differences, but they're not less. Some may come to your door with a blue bucket or a blue pumpkin, and I wanted to make sure that you realize that they did, that, you know, if they're nonverbal and they can't ask to trick or treat, or if they don't make eye contact, or they don't do the things that general neurotypical kids do, that it's okay. That tonight, your kindness and your patience will go a long way for families with kids on the autism spectrum. And so if any of you are friendly, make sure that you recognize that, that you bring light to it. But many families want to participate, and your kindness, your patience, and your understanding, and your awareness as members of the North Carolina General Assembly will be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Further notices and announcements? Seeing none, we'll stand at ease until we get the adjournment resolution. Members, if we can come back to order for just a minute, I did not see Representative Carney's light. It's right there in the very corner. For what purpose, the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Carney, rise.
Point of personal privilege.
You have the floor for a point of personal privilege.
I just felt compelled when the word Halloween was said to stand up and say thank you to everyone and our LAs and staff people that brought candy in today. I don't know how many of you know that on Halloween Day, we're usually not here, but if our staff's here, they have always had the school, North Carolina School for the Blind, come over and they trick-or-treat in the building, and that's who was here with us today. So I just wanted to say thank you to our staff and our LAs. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm looking. I don't see any other lights. So we will stand at ease.
House will come back to order. Messages from the Senate. The clerk will read.
Senate Joint Resolution 694, first edition, a joint resolution adjourning the 2019 regular session of the General Assembly to a date certain and limiting the matters that may be considered upon reconvening, with unengrossed amendment number one.
Calendar without objection, this evening's calendar for immediate consideration. So ordered. Senate Joint Resolution 694, clerk will read.
Senator Raven, Senate Joint Resolution 694, joint resolution adjourning 2019 regular session of the General Assembly to the date certain and limiting the matters that may be considered upon reconvening. The Senate resolves the House concur.
For what purpose, gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, rise.
Mr. Speaker, inquiry to the chair.
Gentleman's recognized.
Would the gentleman accept a motion for me to suspend Rule 10 that I may speak for more than 15 minutes to explain this resolution?
No objection. Objection. How many words will the gentleman speak during those 15 minutes?
It may be gentleman. A series of the same words multiple times, Mr. Speaker, but...
Yes, sir.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to debate the resolution.
Actually, the clerk will need to read the amendment first. Clerk recognized to read the amendment.
Is it an amendment?
Senator Raven moves to amend the bill on page 1, lines 11 through 12, by inserting between the lines the following language to read.
Members, just so members are aware of the procedure, in order to expedite, the amendment was not engrossed, so what we'll have is the rules chair will move the adoption of the amendment. Then after that, we will proceed to the actual resolution itself. So that's the reason you're seeing the way it is. The gentleman's recognized for a motion pertaining to the amendment.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adopt Senate Amendment 1.
Gentleman has moved that the House adopt Senate Amendment 1 to the resolution. Further discussion or debate on the amendment? Not the question for the House is the adoption of Senate Amendment 1. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 83 having voted in the affirmative, 3 in the negative. The amendment is adopted. We're now on the adjournment resolution. The gentleman has the floor.
Mr. Speaker, this pretty standard boilerplate adjournment resolution provides that the House and Senate, when they adjourn today, will be adjourned until Wednesday, November 13th, 2019 at noon. It also provides the topics that can be discussed when we return on that date. And further, it says that when we adjourn from that session, we'll remain adjourned until Tuesday, January 14th, 2020 at 12 o'clock noon. And I would move the adoption or would encourage my colleagues to support the passage of this resolution.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Wake, Representative Jackson, rise.
Speak on a joint resolution.
Gentleman has the floor.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I agreed that I wouldn't object or hold us here much longer than I have to, but I have to at least speak and say I don't think we should be adjourning until basically January before we'll be eligible to consider an issue of great importance, I think, to the citizens of the state, and that's Medicaid expansion. Whether it's our bill, whether it's Carolina Cares, Working Families, I think we should be considering something, whether it's next week or the following week, but certainly before January. 37 states have already taken action to expand their Medicaid programs, and I believe North Carolina should be the next one. It would help 500,000 people get access to affordable health care. It would mean providing care for up to 150,000 people with behavioral health needs, 23,000 veterans, over 500,000 working people that are one illness, one major injury away from bankruptcy. Somewhere in every county and every district of this state, there's somebody who would benefit and will be harmed by waiting an additional 2 months to consider this very important bill. And for that reason, I would ask you not to vote for the adjournment resolution.
For what purpose, gentleman from Haywood, Representative Queen, rise.
To speak on the
resolution.
Gentleman has the floor.
Representative Jackson said pretty much what I was thinking. We are leaving a half a million of our citizens without health care, without even considering the issue. These are real people with real needs. It's real money that we are wasting, letting the clock tick away. We heard some good efforts on from the speaker on raising teachers' pay to 4.4%, but the governor has offered a compromise that raises their pay to 8.5%. We have a lot of things to talk about. Our work is not done, and I suggest you don't vote for this adjournment resolution until we get our work done.
For what purpose, the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Cunningham, rise?
To speak to the resolution.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Recently, a study came out that more North Carolina children are losing health care. North Carolina child, as of October the 30th of 2019, 15,000 North Carolina children lost health insurance coverage between 2016 and 2018, according to a report released by Georgetown University Center for Children and Families. According to Michelle Hughes, Executive Director of North Carolina Child, largely the result of our state lawmakers' refusal to expand Medicaid. Executive Director of Georgetown Center said Medicaid expansion is a key factor. Where parents enroll themselves in Medicaid, they are likely to enroll their children also. In the CHIP program, which is the Children's Health Insurance Program, the data shows an increase in the rate of uninsured children in nearly three times as large in the state that have not expanded Medicaid. North Carolina has a total of 130,000 uninsured children, the seventh highest number in the nation. I rise today to ask, what are we waiting for? I believe the House members have worked along nonpartisan lines to bring forth a piece of legislation that is beneficial to our children and our struggling working families. Today, I acknowledge power. Quote, power is like fire. It can do useful things. It can be fun to play with and to watch, but it must be constantly guarded and trimmed back, lest it burn and destroy. The proper attitude toward power is to respect tinged with some suspicion. David Whitaker, 1973, the author of The Power Motive. This moment in time, in this space, now is all we have. Lest we waste this precious time, that we have an opportunity to do what is right, what is just and morally correct. For the half a million people in the state of North Carolina that lack healthcare coverage, I'm not going to ask you how to vote. I'm going to ask you to think about those half a million people that we're going to leave here that still do not have healthcare coverage in the state of North Carolina. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, the passage of Senate Joint Resolution 694 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 60 having voted in the affirmative, 28 in the negative. Senate Joint Resolution 694 passed the second reading. Will without objection. Hear that third time.
The Senate resolved, the House concurred.
Got so excited.
For what purpose of jump from Bladen? No. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, passage of Senate Joint Resolution 694 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Joint Resolution 694, having passed third reading, is ordered and rolled. Stand at ease momentarily.
Notices and announcements. And members, this does conclude the House business. And so we are now prepared to move to an adjournment. Any notices or announcements? If not, the gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for a motion.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to Senate Joint Resolution 694, I move the House adjourn to reconvene Wednesday, November 13th at 12 o'clock noon, subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis moves, seconded by Representative Hastings, that the House do now adjourn pursuant to Senate Joint Resolution 694, and that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Wednesday, November 13th at 12 noon, subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The House stands adjourned.
Message from the Senate is noted. Senate Chamber, October 31st, 2019. Mr. Speaker, it is ordered the message be sent to the House of Representatives with the information that the Senate adopts the report of the conferees for Senate Bill 433. Conference Committee substituted bills to be entitled an act to make various changes to statutes governing the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources and to remove certain lands from the State Nature and Historic Preserve as recommended by the Department to amend certain reports of the North Carolina Policy Collaboration in general to the General Assembly to clarify certain appropriations in the 2018 Hurricane Florence Disaster Recovery Act to correct an effective date, to repeal and replace an act providing for emergency operating funds for utilities to adjust for inflation, the threshold for Department of Administration approval of the state leases, and to clarify and amend the septic tank site suitability determination process with the appropriate actions taken by both chambers. The bill will be ordered and enrolled. Respectfully signed, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. Reading of representative statements. A representative statement acknowledging the Oncology Nursing Society, whereas the Oncology Nursing Society is a professional association committed to promoting excellence in oncology nursing and the transformation of cancer care, and whereas ONS began in 1973 when a small number of nurses gathered support from their colleagues to establish a national support organization for their profession, and whereas ONS was incorporated on July 17, 1975, and by 1976 had a membership of 488, and whereas in 1984, ONS published its first set of chemotherapy recommendations known as Cancer Chemotherapy Guidelines, and in 1988, it became an American Nurses Association accredited approver and provider of continuing education, and whereas in 2006, ONS and the American Society of Clinical Oncology developed the first national standards for the safe administration of chemotherapy drugs, and whereas in 2008, ONS hired its first public policy advocate to help raise awareness for cancer nurses, patients, and research, and during that same year helped with the introduction of federal legislation assuring and improving Cancer Treatment Education and Cancer Symptom Management Act of 2018 to be introduced in Congress, and whereas today ONS has more than 35,000 members and over 220 chapters across the nation, including five in North Carolina, and whereas ONS mission of advancing excellence in oncology nursing and quality cancer care is evident in the organization's commitment to advocating on behalf of people with cancer to ensure their quality of life and access to exemplary care. Now, therefore, the Oncology Nursing Society deserves to be recognized and commended for its fight against cancer. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the Journal on the 31st day of October 2019, submitted by Representative Donna McDowell White, signed by House Principal Clerk James White. A representative statement honoring John Conyers, former congressman, whereas from 1965 to 2017, John Conyers represented the citizens of Michigan in Congress, making him the longest serving African American member, and whereas while a member of Congress, John Conyers spent 16 years trying to establish the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, which came to fruition in 1986, and whereas John Conyers sponsored other legislation, including bills seeking reparation for African Americans who were the descendants of slavers and establishing single-payer health care, and whereas John Conyers was the co-founder of the Congressional Black Caucus, along with Shirley Chisholm, Charlie Rangel, and 12 others, and whereas John Conyers was very active in civil rights as a civil rights leader and received the International Civil Rights Walk of Fame Award, and whereas John Conyers served his country during the Korean War, and whereas John Conyers passed away on October 27th, 2019 at the age of 90, now therefore it is fitting to honor the life and memory of John Conyers and to express appreciation for his service to his community, state, and nation. In witness whereof, the undersigned certifies that the foregoing statement was read in the House and placed upon the Journal on this 31st day of October 2019, submitted by Representative Gene Farmer Butterfield, signed by House Principal Clerk James White. The enrolling clerk reports the following bills duly ratified for presentation to the governor. Senate Bill 199, Act to Protect Children from Sexual Abuse and to Strengthen and Modernize Sexual Assault Laws. Senate Bill 354, an act consistent with House Bill 966 of the 2019 regular session to appropriate funds for legislative mandated compensation increases for certain public personnel, and contingent with the passage of House Bill 966 of the 2019 regular session to appropriate funds for legislative mandated compensation increases for certain educational employees and increased funding for tuition grants for graduates of the North Carolina School of Science and Mathematics, an act to make Senate Bill 433, an act to make various changes to the statutes governing the Department of Natural and Cultural Resources and to remove certain lands from the State Nature and Historic Preserve as recommended by the Department, to amend certain reports of the North Carolina Policy Collaboratory to the General Assembly, to clarify certain appropriations in the 2018 Hurricane Florence Disaster Recovery Act, to correct an effective date, to repeal and replace an act providing for emergency operating funds for utilities, to adjust for inflation the threshold for Department of Administration approval of state leases, and to clarify and amend septic tank site suitability determination processes. Senate Bill 537, an act to examine and establish a new adult care home payment methodology, to amend the Licensed Professional Counselors Act, to update and revise Substance Abuse Professional Practice Act, to amend the Social Worker Clarification and Licensure Act, to amend Department of Health and Human Services statutes pertaining to Medicaid, social services reform, child support, vocational rehabilitation, employee assistance, professionals, adoptions, child abuse and neglect, Joint Security Forces, security recordings, NC REACH program, traumatic brain injury, and the Medical Care Commission membership, to postpone deployment of NC FAST case management functionality for child welfare system, aging and adult services, program development requests for information and require program evaluation division to study the issue, to implement criminal history record checks for child care institutions, to make changes to involuntary commitment, and to establish the Rural Health Care Stabilization Program. Senate Bill 557, an act to increase the standard deduction, to expand the definition of holding company for franchise tax purposes, to implement market-based sourcing for multi-state income tax apportionment, to require certain marketplace facilitators to collect taxes, to direct revenue laws to study certain tax sunset provisions, and to make technical corrections. Senate Bill 578, an act to reduce franchise tax and to modify film grant limits. And the following resolution duly ratified, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Office of Secretary of State. Senate Joint Resolution 677, a joint resolution confirming the appointment of Corey M. Byers to the North Carolina Mining Commission. Senate Joint Resolution 678, a joint resolution relating confirming the appointment of Robert J. Connor to the North Carolina Mining Commission. Senate Joint Resolution 684, a joint resolution providing for the confirmation of the appointment of Jeffrey A. Hughes to the Utilities Commission. Senate Joint Resolution 685, a joint resolution providing for the confirmation of the appointment of Kimberly W. Duffley to the Utilities Commission. The enrolling clerk reports the following resolution duly ratified, properly enrolled, and prepared for presentation to the Office of Secretary of State. Senate Joint Resolution 694, joint resolution adjourning the 2019 regular session of the General Assembly to a date certain and limiting the matters that may be considered upon reconvening.
Chapter bills will be noted.
Did you do the adjournment one too?
I did. What is it?
Special message from the Senate. Special message from the Senate. Senate Chamber, October 31st, 2019. Mr. Speaker, pursuant to the message from the Senate on July 22nd, 2019, informing the House of Representatives that the Senate fails to concur in Senate Bill 476, House Committee Substitute for its addition, a bill to be entitled an act to direct the State Board of Education to recommend steps necessary to transition to a competency-based assessment and teaching model for all elementary and secondary students in North Carolina, and to require public school units to adopt and implement a suicide risk referral protocol and mental health training program and a policy against teen dating violence and abuse. The President pro tempore appoints Senator Raven chair, Senator B. Jackson, Senator Brown, Senator Harrington on the part of the Senate to confer with the Light Committee appointed by your honorable body to the end that the differences arising may be resolved. Respectfully signed, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. The Speaker appoints the following conferees for Senate Bill 476, Competency-Based Assessment and Mental Health Teen Violence. Representative Horn, Chair, and Representatives Elmore and White, the Senate will be notified by special message. Special message from the chamber, special message from the Senate, Senate Chamber, October 31st, 2019. Mr. Speaker, pursuant to your message received on September 18th, 2019, that the House of Representatives failed to concur in House Bill 633, Senate Committee Substitute, Fourth Edition of Bill to be entitled an act strengthening the laws against criminal gang activity and clarified judicial standards commission procedures, the President tempore appoints Senator Raven chair, Senator B. Jackson, Senator Brown, Senator Harrington on the part of the Senate confer with a like committee appointed by your honorable body to the end that the differences arising may be resolved. Respectfully signed, Sarah Holland, Principal Clerk of the Senate. That message is noted.